This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Was that
Lizmark.
Lizmark. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big butts play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happened. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what you think.
Here's our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Just Rosero, coming at you live here on this Monday evening. And of course, it is one of the most exciting Monday evenings of the year. And that is because it is tournament time, and for the sixth consecutive year, we have the same exact crew back to preview this year's March Madness Big Dance. We're going to build our brackets. We're going to break down the games. We're going to make fun of each other. We're going to have a lot of good times here tonight. Scott Criscola, I cannot believe it's already been 6 years that we've been doing this show.
It's incredible. We've had two children born during right around this time, and we've had unusual sound effects in the background. We've had two UConn national championships, which is unfortunate, but it's been a great run.
Who are the two kids?
Who are you? No one's introduced you yet. Stay in line. Everything's been fantastic, JR. I can't believe we welcome a Place to Be Nation to episode 398 of the Mothership, and I can't believe it. Year six, and it's the one thing that's stayed a constant. Amongst a few other things. So here we go.
Yeah, thankfully it's not too much constant. But so we will be, of course, submitting a bracket as a group like we do each and every year. And there is a bracket contest. The information has been posted on Facebook and Twitter, but I'll give it right here for you now, too. So if you go to Yahoo and you sign up for the bracket prediction, Pick'em Experts bracket that we'll be doing tonight, you can compete against us on the tourney Pick'em on Yahoo. Group names, Place to Be Nation, group ID 59604. Password, PTB, all capital, and then capital S, Shockwall. PTBS, all capitalized, and then Hawkwall, I guess. So PTB Shockwall. Be sure to go ahead and enter that password in and join in. The winner will get a little bit of a little prize, nothing monetary, but something fun we'll come up with here. So, you know, get in. We already got, I think, like 25 people have already signed up. So
super.
Wow. You compete, see if you can beat our bracket, see who wins. The winner gets a prize. All in good fun. We'll give out the info again at the end of the show. So why waste any more time, Scott? Let's bring in our expert panel. As always, we will go in order of seniority, like we usually do. And that means bringing in, first of all, our very own Rickety Cricket, the man who here is, of course, the silverback. He's been with us, I think, debuted like back in episode 3. The idiot savant when it comes to college basketball, Place to Be Nation, Mr. Matthew Rotella.
No, we're not. That is fine.
Rotella, how you doing?
That never gets old.
Grey Goose.
How you doing? How was the Big Apple last week? Did you have a good time?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was some great games.
I really appreciated the offer to come down on that Friday night, but after the end, I was kind of happy because I'm like, they would have been a long ass 3-hour ride back, so I was fine with that, with the decision in the end. But it's always a great time, and I'm tentatively scheduling myself for next year to try and get there for the whole week. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes out. How's the family? Okay.
Doing good.
Yeah. You said it for Easter.
Oh, always.
All right, let's bring in our next guest. And, of course, the next in line seniority-wise is – well, actually, you guys might be tied. I don't know. They both debuted on that bracket prediction show. We'll go Mr. Reish, though. He's the veteran. How you doing, Mr. Reish?
6 years.
Yes.
It's a long time.
I actually got nostalgic. I listened to the first one about a week ago, and I have to say my highly efficient annoyance factor is still there.
It hasn't faded.
It has not faded.
You can hear Andrew sporadically on the main event. I think he was, first appearance in like 9 months was on the last episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Blame Adam Murray's voice.
When he's permitted back. Yes, the NBA team, you can catch each and every week, Andrew and Adam
Murray. Yeah, I'm in my NCAA bunker here, kind of like Chuck and Kenny. I'll be back once they get back into the run.
Very good. And, of course, be sure to check that out each and every week. Great look into the world of the NBA. And also joining us, rounding up the crew here, he first debuted way back in the first season as well with our Big East tournament prediction show. And then, of course, the first installment of this show here, Scott's brother, Mr. Chris Criscolo. Chris, how you doing tonight?
Good, but I do want to mention, though, that not only did you have a child and Matt had a child, but I also had a child in this past 6 years.
Yeah, there was four. I had two. Scott's math is way off. Hopefully he's not putting that bracket math in. Maybe he was just giving an example of how the committee works.
No, there were two yesterday. Kids during the bracket. Your daughter was born in the summer. We weren't doing – if we were doing an all-star game podcast, then my niece would have been included.
Well, guys, I have an announcement to make. No, I'm joking.
You and Adam are actually cared about college basketball this year.
Well, I could be more objective, unlike I feel you're going to be.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised Andrew didn't turn down the show since his team turned down all conference tournaments. You know, I just figured he might just bow out, Reish.
We're not going to talk about LSU, obviously, because they're not in. But what a despicable, horrible, decrepit finish to the season.
Welcome
good
to
riddance, Ben Simmons.
Welcome to my world.
I don't even know why he went there. He should have gone to, Kentucky or somebody else.
Yeah. Not that shop. All right. Why don't we dive in? So what we do each and every year here, like I said, we fill out our own bracket. We go region by region. We take it all the way through the Final Four. And I'll kind of lead us through. The other four guys there will take turns talking about the matchups. I will play tiebreaker if needed, and that is just for our own group bracket here. Of course, we'll all be submitting our own in the contest, too, because I'm sure we'll have some disagreements, as always. We will not spend too much time on some of the easier matchups. We'll save those discussions for the ones and twos as we move along. So, Rotella, why don't I let you pick things and get us started? Which bracket, which region would you like to start off with?
Oh, let's go with the South.
Okay, we're going to go to the South, and that starts things off with the number one seed, Kansas, taking on 16, Austin Peay. And Mr. Rotella, why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
Well, not much to say. Kansas is going to beat them. Austin Peay is
Anyone want to talk about this besides
Rotella? One seed.
I missed the chant of Let's Go Peay, but that's all I got.
Okay. Anyone have anything to say about Austin Peay in Kansas before we move
Kansas
on?
Will break triple digits. That's my prediction.
Okay. All right, we'll advance Kansas on in our bracket, and that takes us to the 8-9, and we're going to start with Mr. Chris Criscolo because it's his team here, and we should say, of course, back in 2011, this jackass sat on this very show, picked UConn to run the table in both the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament, and they went ahead and did so. And then they went ahead and did so again a couple years later. So let's hope the curse is broken, and let's hope they don't win again this year. But we'll let you start things off, Chris. Your 9-seed Connecticut Huskies taking on Colorado, the 8.
Well, first of all, I mean, it was a tremendous weekend. I mean, I honestly thought that Connecticut needed to win the Cincinnati game to get in. Otherwise, they would have been on the bubble and sweating it out on Selection Sunday. But Jalen Adams makes a 63-footer, and then they bomb Memphis and they bomb Temple. So they deserve to be in. I think they're one of the best 64 teams in the country. And I think that they have more talent than Colorado does. Colorado has a great big man. 6'10", 245 pounds. He's a scorer. He's a rebounder. But that's the one thing that will be against Colorado is that Connecticut can run out three guys of size to take him on. Well, they only have one. So there's 15 fouls to give to guard him, and I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I don't know that Colorado's guards can stay with the triumvirate of Adams, Gibbs, and Purvis. So I think Connecticut will win the game. I think it'll be a close game. It'll be inside, you know, 6 or 7 points with 5 minutes to go, which then becomes anybody's game. But because Connecticut is such a tremendous free throw shooting team, and that's what wins games when they're tight late, I think Connecticut wins a tight game.
Andrew?
Colorado, I think, was a beneficiary of the Pac-12 having a better-than-average season. They were kind of riding the coattails at the bottom part of that pack that was making it into the tournament out of the Pac-12. They made it, and good for them. You know, Chris mentioned Josh Scott. George King is a good shooter. The weird thing about Colorado is that they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, but they're one of the worst two-point shooting teams in the country. UConn defensively is very good. So is Colorado. But I feel like Kevin Ollie is going to just chase him off the free throw line and not foul. Colorado is a good rebounding team, so that's the only chance they have. I feel like UConn's playing a little too well right now. Colorado is kind of just like they always do. They just kind of glide through the season. I don't see them riding momentum here. I think UConn will win the game.
All right, Rotelli, you want to talk about Josh Fortune?
Actually, I was going to bring him up, seeing that no one else was. He's a good three-point shooter, but he's streaky. But I think as everyone was going here with UConn, Kevin Ollie is a motivator.
Is that Muhammad's cousin?
Whatever.
Or Prince Ali.
And Connecticut will win this game.
I didn't know Kevin Ollie threw his 2013 championship trophy into the river because he was trying to, you know, he's pissed off about the war. Was that what happened?
He was stuck in the Cave of Wonders. What do you want?
All right, Scott, you going to make a clean sweep here for these stupid Huskies?
I will. I am a Josh Fortune fan. Watched him plenty of times. I like George King. Both teams very good defensively. Their KenPom numbers defensively good. UConn 17th. And
Mr. 538 over here all of a sudden. All right.
And Connecticut's better than good. Connecticut's number 5 defensive efficiency against KenPom.
I'll say that KenPom really does stand up in terms of team performance. I will say that.
Already getting off to a great start. UConn wins.
I'm impressed. I was telling Andrew before we got on that if anything like was ever a biggest money lock, it was UConn winning that American tournament as soon as that bullshit bank shot went in, because that was the most UConn thing ever. Like, I wish I just would have laid millions down on them winning that tournament, because it was obvious. Like, you see it coming a mile away.
And Justin's trademarked an adjective. It's a UConn-y tournament.
It was such the most UConn thing ever, that win right there.
That's right.
So we'll see. So we'll move them
Some
ahead.
Teams are just built for March Magic.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right. So we'll see them move on to face Kansas. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But let's head on to the 5-12 matchup. Scott, we'll give you some time to start things off here. Maryland and South Dakota State. Now, we always know there is a 5-12 in there somewhere that happens. Is this the one this year?
Well, you know, Chris, you and I watched Maryland a few weeks ago. They've got plenty of talent. I mean, Rashid Suleiman, Melo Trimble. But they're very sloppy. They turn the ball over a lot. I don't know if they're an overly bright team offensively. I think they sometimes don't pass as much as they should. They're sometimes in the wrong place at the wrong time. South Dakota State could surprise them. I don't think they will, though. I'll give Maryland the win. I think the Jackrabbits will keep it close in the first half, but I think Maryland pulls away late. Maybe he wins by 14 or 15, but I'll take the Terps.
All right. Chris?
Actually, Maryland's key player, okay, and it's a guy who I actually follow quite a bit because at the end his recruiting was between Connecticut and Maryland, and that's Diamond Stone, and he is a bona fide stud, superstar NBA player. He is going to be an NBA all-star. For a guy as a freshman that has that kind of talent and the ability to handle the ball under the basket, and he shoots a tremendously high percentage from the free throw line, I actually think he's the key to Maryland's tournament run rather than Melo Trimble. I never saw a guy like Trimble go so far south so badly. He turned the ball over terribly in conference play, shot horribly, and he's going to have to turn that around significantly if Maryland's going to really make a run here. But I think Stone is the key player, and I don't see South Dakota having any way of stopping him. I think he will feast under the basket. I think Maryland wins big.
All right, Matt?
I'm also on the Maryland bandwagon here. South Dakota State is a great shooting team, like most of those teams in the area are, and they can light it up, but Maryland has a better defense, so I'm going with Maryland.
All right, Andrew, anything standing out on what these guys said or anything you want to speak up against?
No. The only advantage may be that regionally-wise, it's in Spokane, so South Dakota State's fans might be able to travel because it's a little closer, but Maryland's just way too good. I think they're going to crush them.
Yeah, do you think this, and I guess we can talk about this as we go on, is what'll be the hot, sexy 5-12 and 4-13 that you'll hear about a lot over the next day or so?
For the 5-12, I see a different one that we'll talk about later, and I'll bring them up. I don't see this one, though.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen too much about this one, but this 4-13 I've seen a lot about. That is California taking on Hawaii. Hawaii getting a lot of love, especially on the bracket shows last night. Cal's assistant coach now in some kind of sexual harassment controversy. I think he got fired today. Is this a sneaky 4-13 reach, or what do you think? Is this, getting all the love for a reason?
Hawaii had a really good year in the Big West. They almost beat Oklahoma in the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii around Christmas. So they have played against big boys, and they've shown well. Offensively, pretty good. A lot, good guard play. But then again, just like the Maryland situation, I think Cal is just too talented. I'm not as trustworthy of them at the 4 seed as I actually am of Maryland at the 5 seed. But I'll take Cal here, but I do think there will be a bit of a scare.
How about you, Scott?
Well, the Big 12 was the Pac 12 was a much better conference, and we'll talk about this a lot when we talk about a lot of the Pac 12 teams. It was a much better conference, I think people thought.
Charles Barkley.
And at least I know where the Pac 12 teams are. that show last night was a sham. Anyway, Hawaii is very good defensively, particularly in the perimeter, and you got to defend the perimeter to win games in the tournament. You don't want three-point shooters getting hot. Stefan Jankovic, good player, 15, almost 16 points, 6.5 boards. I think Cal wins based on just being battle-tested this season. But Hawaii, similar to the other game, I think Maryland will struggle early. I think Cal will struggle early to kind of figure out Hawaii's defensive schemes. But I think they pull away in the second half and win.
How about you, Chris?
Cal's got at least two bona fide NBA players, in Jaylen Brown, and I forget the other guy that they have, but they also have Ivan Rabb as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a lot of talent, but I'm a big Rainbow Warrior fan. I've been to Hawaii, seven times. I've seen I like the school. I follow the school's football team when they were doing the run and shoot. And their basketball program is improved. They've got talent. They got guys who could shoot. But Cal just has too much. This is just one of those games where talent will just override in the end. And I think Cal has too much talent for Hawaii. But it will be a close game early, and I think Cal wins in the second half.
Matt, anything you want to add?
No, I'm going with California.
Okay. All right, let's head over to the 6-11. That's Arizona taking on the winner of Wichita State and Vanderbilt. So, Chris, why don't you start us off there? Give us who you think the winner of Vandy and the Shockers will be, and then how do you like either of those teams against Arizona?
Well, just a quick tidbit. I don't think Vanderbilt belonged in the field anyway. That's just one of a number of farces on the committee's place. And Wichita State, I don't think, belonged in the first four. I thought they were a tournament team all season, and the experience that they have is going to be a real test for Arizona. And I watched Arizona. I was very disappointed in Sean Miller's team this year. They were a preseason top five team and played nowhere near that level all year long. I'm actually taking Wichita State in an upset.
Wow, okay. That was our first upset on the board. Matt, we saw Arizona, of course, play the Friars earlier in the year. And I know they battled some injury issues, but they definitely were one of those teams because, I was following them closely anyway, just wins and losses to see how they would affect the Friars' RPI, and it always seemed like they had a big game, a big chance, and they'd be down to the wire and end up losing, and it seemed like a lot of frustration coming out of there. So, Matt, what do you think? Do you agree with Chris? Are they right for an upset? Do you see the Shockers going in there and beating them if they get by Vandy?
I think it's going to be a very good game. I definitely think Wichita State is going to beat Vanderbilt. I agree with Chris. Vanderbilt does not belong here, and Wichita State does not belong in the – first four. Van Vliet was out for several games this year. He's going to get them rolling, but I never root against Arizona in the NCAA tournament. So they always step up in the right situations, usually.
Can you say Van Vliet again?
Whatever.
Van Vliet. Van Vliet.
The greatest German.
Vliet all sounds the same.
the greatest German guard in college basketball history.
Sounds like a Ring of Honor tag team. Diamond Stone and Ali Van Vliet.
All right. Well, Scott, who do you like here? And do you see either of these teams giving Arizona a run for their money?
I'm going to agree with everyone else that that's a joke. To not even make it to – forget your conference final. Your conference semifinal you can't even make? And you're in anyway? That's ridiculous. I like the Shockers. They'll win that game, but I have to agree with the Silverback there. I think Arizona – and JR, you and I watched the Arizona-Providence game together, and that was a fun back-and-forth game. PC seemed to control it, and I think Arizona will struggle in this game, but I think they're going to – just like the previous two games, I think just – talent and experience will survive, and I think Arizona finds a way to escape this game by maybe 5 or 6 points. So I'm going to take Arizona, but I would not be surprised if the Shockers shocked them. But I like I think Arizona will break the shock wall and beat the.
Right, it's not time for the shock wall pick yet. all right, Andrew, are you going to tie it up or are you going to swing this for Arizona?
I'm down here in the SEC country, so I got to watch a good bit of Vanderbilt. I agree with everybody here about their record being very so-so, but they got saved by two things, the advanced metrics and the eye test, because they do have Damian Jones and they have Wade Baldwin IV, who are both very talented players, albeit they're not always very consistent, and they came in kind of limping out of the SEC tournament. Wichita State is all defense. Vanderbilt's all offense. Ron Baker, Van Vliet, a lot of guys there that can still play under Greg Marshall. It's a really good first four matchup. I don't know if it'll be the best one they've ever had, but in terms of anticipation for tomorrow, I think a lot of people are kind of seeing tomorrow or Tuesday, mind you, as like the start of the tournament, because it really is a cool game. I see Wichita State winning, but I think Arizona still wins, even though I'm not a big fan of them. And Justin, you should know anyway, you watched them play Providence very early in the season, and I don't think they're really any better than they were then. But I still really like Sean Miller. I think he's a great coach. I think he'll figure out a way to really squeeze the offense of Wichita State and get enough points to take him out.
So he squeezed his belt. I read a thing about today. Oh, he lost 40 pounds and 5 inches off his waist. So go Sean Miller. All right. So 314, another one, I don't know, getting a low hum. I don't hear a lot of buzz on this one because I don't think Buffalo has much of a chance against Miami.
The best team there was Akron out of the MAC, and they lost in the final to Buffalo.
So I'm prepared to move Miami on unless anyone wants to speak up on behalf of Buffalo.
No, I mean, just we could talk about it a little further, but You got to give props to Jim Larranaga. I mean, a great coach, and he's done a hell of a job in Miami, and that team's only going to – they're going to be in the top of the ACC pretty much every year. He's a great coach.
I concur. This is a contrast to styles. Miami kind of likes to put you through the meat grinder. Buffalo's going to want to move the ball, and I don't think Miami will let them. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Kings win.
Well, it's an AFC East battle.
I do have to make one quick comment. Yeah. I think this is Larranaga's first time – coaching in Providence since he graduated from PC.
Mumbled all over my AFC East joke for that stupid stat. All right.
Well, Sexy Rexy's not winning this game either, so.
I don't know who. Miami doesn't usually either, so who knows? They'll play to a tie. True. All right, Andrew, kick us off with the 7-10 here. Iowa Temple, Dan McGinn's Owls. Do they stand a chance against Iowa, another team that's been a bit of a disappointment?
I hate to crush Dan McGinn's dreams.
No, we all like to crush Dan McGinn's dreams.
Oh, easily.
I did not think Temple was a tournament team anyway. I'm not trying to pick on the American Conference. We're going to have a whole lot of time to do that in a few. But I just don't really see anything there. Like, Quentin DiCozzi is a good player. They've got a little bit of depth. Fran Dunphy's a smart guy. They always play good defense. Iowa, yes, you're right, has not played well. They were red hot at the start of Big Ten play, kind of cooled off. Jared Otoff had a very good senior year. They have a really good second guy there named Peter Jock. If they get some good play out of Mike Gisell and Anthony Clemens in the backcourt against Temple, I don't think Temple has a chance.
All right, Chris.
I mean, I watched a lot of Temple this year. I mean, they beat Connecticut at the buzzer in one game, and the Huskies caught up a double-digit lead with 5 minutes to go in the other game. Temple is not a big-time team. I didn't think they belonged in the field. I mean, I'm stunned at the American Conference. I mean, Tulsa's a joke. I didn't think Temple belonged either. I thought Connecticut and Cincinnati were the two best teams in the conference, the only two teams that deserve to be in. And I love Fran McCaffrey. I love Iowa. I mean, I've been on Iowa's bandwagon even through their football season. I thought they were the best team in the Big Ten this year. And then they lost to Michigan State, and then they lost their bowl game. So they ended the season well. But I am not on Temple. I mean, DeCozy's a good player, but I think Iowa wins this game handily. And there's going to be a lot of egg on the committee's faces when some of the teams that people are scratching their heads about are going to get waxed. And then they'll be like, well, you see? So, no, Iowa wins.
Yeah, it seems like maybe the A-10 is the conference that got hosed. And I was reading a little bit about with the AAC getting these extra teams in. But, Scott, you're going to move Iowa on as well?
Yes, and I think this is funny. I don't know, and Reish probably knows this because he's Rain Man. I don't think there's more than two coaches in Division I with the first name Fran, and they're actually playing each other in this game. So I think that's funny, Fran versus Fran.
I mean, that's
Fran.
The good thing about Temple is that Fran Dunphy's he's a great coach. I mean, he was the perfect fit there after John Chaney left. And he'll keep Temple competitive and somewhat relevant, in at least in that conference.
And but, the Frans, well, you know they had Fran Fraschilla forever, but he's been out of college basketball for a while.
Yeah, Fran dropped his pants, and that was no, he's not doing anything.
These two Frans are really different. You know, Dunphy's kind of cool and collected. McCaffrey is fiery. He reminds me of Knight. He's nasty.
Well, so, I watched Fran McCaffrey for a long time. Matt and I both did he was at Siena, and he's a smart guy. And I agree with my brother that they were probably one of the most talented teams in the Big Ten this year that didn't live up at times and lost a lot of stupid games. But I also agree that Temple has no business being here. Hawkeyes move on.
Matt,
go ahead, Matt. I'll just say one last comment after Matt. Go ahead.
Not much more to say than what everyone else has said. I'm just going to go with Iowa. Chris can go right ahead.
The one guy that Temple does have, and they talk so much about DeCozy, but Jalen Bond, okay, is an absolute beast in the middle. He's 6'8", about 240, and he's a rebounding machine. And he had a really good tournament. And unfortunately, you know, he's a senior. He's not coming back. If he had another year of eligibility, then Temple would have been in really good shape
because he's got
some talent. He's going to get a look in the NBA simply because of his size and his ability to create space because he's just such a big body.
Yeah, he was a big-time recruit. He was a transfer out of Texas under Rick Barnes.
All right, so we'll go ahead and move Iowa on. Anyone want to talk any particular upset here with Nova in Asheville or anything to say about Asheville?
Yeah. Nah. Jay Wright struggles in the NCAA tournament, but he at least gets out of this round, so he should win. They should win.
All right, so why don't we just stay at the bottom here? We just talked about Iowa, and maybe we can talk about Nova. We'll stay with the...
No, like I said, the high seeds are bad this year.
All right, well, let's stick with Nova here as the 2 seed in the second round of 32, taking on Iowa. Matt, why don't you kick us off? Nova, Iowa. What do you think about Nova's chances to finally get to the Sweet 16 here?
Nova is a great team. I saw them play twice at the Big East tournament. The guy who I think is the catalyst, everyone talks about Josh Hart. Everyone talks about Ryan Achidakano. But if Chris Jenkins starts going off, the kid can flat out play. He played two great games in the semifinals and the finals, and he just doesn't miss when he's hot. And right now, I would have to go with Villanova over Iowa.
All right, Scott.
I think the key for this game is if Ochefu is going to be still a little gimpy. If he's not, I like Villanova's chances in this game. Because for once, Villanova's playing a team that's a lot like them that go through brain farts for about 5 minutes in a second half. The question is whose brain fart will be more detrimental to them. I'm going to finally give Jay Wright his due. I think this will be a great game. Would not be surprised this game goes into overtime. And I think Villanova moves on to the Sweet 16. But I think it's going to be a very good basketball game. But I like the Wildcats.
Chris?
I mean, Villanova's got great guards. I mean, it seems like Ryan Archidiakono has been there for 15 years. I mean, I actually watched him drain 7-3 at the Hartford Civic Center against Connecticut when he was a freshman, and that seems like a decade ago. I mean, he's been around forever. That's one of the things about Ed is his players don't leave. When he brings in recruits, they stay for 4 years. Unfortunately, he really hasn't been able to do anything in this tournament with it. I mean, Josh Hart is good. Brunson's a great lefty. And again, agreeing with Scott, if Ochefu's healthy and if Jenkins plays well, then definitely has more talent to win this game. And I actually think that Jay Wright will get by Iowa in this round. They actually have a good draw, unlike they haven't had in past tournaments. Their draw early is very good, so I like Villanova to get through.
Andrew?
In styles, they're actually very similar. They're both very experienced. They both play a lot of four out, one in. Scott makes a great point about Ochefu with the injury that he just recently had. Adam Woodbury is not an offensive threat, so that might be offset. The interesting thing is mismatches, because they're going to be by design. There's going to be a lot of situations where Chris Jenkins might have to guard or be guarded by Jared Uthoff, who's a great three-point shooter. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting who gets the advantage there. The other problem, though, is that I don't think Peter Jock is going to be able to handle Josh Hart. So it's really going to come down to who makes enough threes. Iowa's a little bit better in terms of percentage, but Villanova's defense is better than Iowa's, so I'll take Villanova in a pinch. I think it'll be close, though.
Did everyone talk about this one? I lost track.
The Silverback.
Yeah, he did.
I thought about it.
Oh, you did. That's right. You started. That's right.
All right. We'll go with Nova then. Chris Jenkins has been playing really well lately, too. So if that
he was great in that final against Seton Hall.
He doesn't miss. When he's hot, he leaves that team.
Yeah, he lost some weight, and that was a big thing for him.
All right, so let's see who they'll play in the Sweet 16. We have Arizona, the 6 seed, against Miami, the 3. Scott, why don't you start us off there?
It's going to be a fun basketball game because I think Miami trying to slow Arizona down is going to be key. And I think talent
– We're going, definitely.
I think talent alone – okay. I think talent alone gets the job done. I like Miami to move on.
All right, Matt?
I love Miami. I love Larrañaga, but something is telling me that this Arizona team is just gonna, even though they have struggled, I have a feeling they're gonna make an upset here.
All right, Chris.
No, I like Miami. I watched a number of their games this year, and the ACC was a great league and. I'm a big Jim Larrañaga fan, so I like Miami.
All right, how about you, Andrew?
Again, I feel like they're both very similar. They're both really good defensively. Offensively, they got a little bit of problems. Athleticism on both sides. I think the one problem, though, is that even though Ryan Anderson has been pretty successful for Arizona, I think the big guys that they have at Miami, Tony Jaquiri and the other guy, I believe Ivan Cruz Uceda. I think the size there will be enough to eliminate any problems down low in terms of rebounding. It'll be a tough amount game, but I think Miami's a little tougher.
All right, so let's just stick here with this matchup then. Andrew, you can kick us off. Miami Nova, the 2-3 to go to the Elite Eight.
I see the upset here. I think Jay Wright is going to be in a little bit of trouble against Miami. I'm not going to say Miami is exactly like Virginia, but I watched Villanova against Virginia early in the season, and they just picked him apart with efficiency from passing and a lot of good inside play. Miami's got the ability to do that, you know, with their guard. It's Angel Rodriguez and Jaquan Newton, who I think is going to be an NBA player in the future, along with the big guys I had already mentioned, and Sheldon McClellan as a slasher. Josh Hart is kind of a slasher for them, too, at Villanova, but I think that McClellan's got some size on him. Villanova, as always, if they shoot the ball well, they can beat anyone at any time. If they have a rotten game and Miami, you know, again, that word squeezes them out. I think Miami's going to beat them.
All right, Scott.
Unlike the previous couple games that Miami played, now they're taking on a team that can match their slowdown pace. You know, Nova knows how to grind. This is a tough one to call because I think this is one of those like free throw games, defensive stops. Again, it comes down to you know whether whether Ochefu is healthy. I'll say he is, and I'm actually gonna stay chalk, and I'm gonna give Jay Wright his due. I think Nova moves on to the Elite Eight.
All right, Chris.
I like Miami. I think, as Andrew mentioned, Villanova goes as well as they shoot the ball. They don't win games when they don't shoot the ball well. And sometimes in these tournaments, you're playing in these, because now at this point they're in the Sweet 16. They're playing in the big arena now where you've got sightline issues. And it's not always the easiest to see the basket, especially when you shoot as many three-pointers as Villanova does. And if they have a tough shooting.
I'm sorry, this one would be at the Yum Center in Louisville, which is a pretty big arena.
Well, that's true then. You know, it's not, they're not playing in the big football stadium. So yes, that probably helps Villanova. But because they depend so much on their outside shooting, if Miami gets up and guards them, and I think they will guard them well, Miami shoots free throws very well. I know Villanova does as well. I like Miami to win. I think it'll be a really good game, a really close game, but I think Miami will win in the end and go to the Elite Eight.
All right, Matt.
I'm going to go with Miami here as well. Villanova, being a Big East fan, I want them to win, but they never play well in this tournament, and I just don't see them getting by Miami.
You almost have to watch them do it first before you can say, okay, now I can pick them the next year.
Chris, that's exactly my point of view with Jay Wright. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I feel like we've gotten burnt year after year on here doing this. I mean, they have to get to the Sweet 16 this year. It lines up so easily for them, and they haven't even gotten there in the last couple of years. So, I mean, it's big for them. It's big for the conference. But they at least have to get to that game and give a showing against Miami. I don't think anyone will fault them to lose to Miami here, even though they're a seed higher. I think,
of course not. Yeah, Miami's right. Extremely good.
Right. So, I mean, they have to at least get to this point for Jay Wright, for the school, for the like for everything. They have to at least get to the Sweet 16 in this game. And if they get in Arizona instead, if an upset happens, now you start talking like, okay, expectations change. But at least here, I think the matchup Miami's a tough one. And like you said, Chris, I mean, the shots can stop falling at any time, and then they're in trouble. So, all right, let's look at the 4-5 up here, Maryland and California. And Mr. Otello, why don't you start us off?
I really like this California team. Not to sound like Charles Barkley, but I really like them. I like Jaylen Brown. I love and Ivan Rabb. Quanzo Martin's a great coach. Tennessee was a fool to let him go. I'm going to go with California.
Chris?
Here's where I actually believe that Maryland, because of the way that they ended the season, as poorly as they are, is now underseeded. I think as a top five team all year and a team that was, considered to be a Final Four candidate, here's where the fact that they're a five seed is going to benefit for them. I mean, they're older, they're bigger, they're stronger. A lot of it's going to depend on Trimble, but like I said before, I think Diamond Stone is a tremendous inside player. I think Maryland will win this game. It'll be a really good game. It'll be fun to watch because Brown and Rabb are great. They're going to be NBA players for Cal, which is really quite good for them. It's not like they've got a lot of big NBA players to go there to play basketball. But I like Maryland to win this game because I think, because of their seeding, they're probably underseeded. I think they're better than their seed, but they say you are what your record says you are, and they didn't play well enough. But Trimble's going to have to play like he's supposed to play if they're going to go deep in this tournament. I think he'll pick up his game in this tournament, and I like Maryland to beat Cal.
Scott?
I'm going to take the Golden Bears here because I just have a weird feeling that that second half, Maryland is going to make a mistake. Again, they're very sloppy sometimes. They're very reckless with the ball. I think California
over a lot.
I think they're going to be very disciplined, and I have to go back to the gauntlet of their schedule. Maryland lost to Minnesota late. I mean, Minnesota sucks, And I just think that Cal is like a few other Pac-12 teams is primed in a situation like this. I think Maryland's going to make a mental mistake, and Cal wins.
Andrew.
man, a lot of NBA scouts are going to be booking their plane tickets for Spokane because there's a lot of talent between these two teams. You know, I would worry about Maryland's lack of depth because they rely a lot on their starting five along with Jared Nickens and DeMonte Dodd. But Cal's not that deep either, so that's a wash. So when you look at the numbers, you know, Cal is really good at – they're actually the best at defending twos. But the thing is, Maryland is also really good at getting to the free throw line and making threes. They have a bit of a mismatch there with Robert Carter Jr. and Jake Layman, you know, with their size at the forward spot because they can both make threes. The big thing there is that, and Scott mentioned it, Maryland can get sloppy. They can turn the ball over a lot. And so what it is that they're going to have to take care of the ball because Cal does not get a lot of turnovers. So if they can't force them and Melo Trimble gets into that high ball screen stuff that he does so well, then I think Maryland's going to win.
All right. This is my first tiebreaker, huh? We get 2-2. I'm going to go Maryland. I throw Cal in that bucket, and maybe this is anecdotal, but I don't – aren't they another team too? I feel like we always kind of bank on, and they always shit the bed. I feel like they're more on usually that 8-9 matchup, but, you know, and I always factor in a little bit of – you know, when there's a little smoke around the team with the sexual harassment thing going on. And I do think Maryland's underseeded as well. So I'm going to take Maryland to advance to break
the tie.
You're
a bad karma believer?
Yeah, this, I don't know, a little bit of, you know, you never know. That kind of stuff hangs over the team. You know, you don't know how loved that coach was, if he was, you know, real respected within the team.
And you know what's funny, Justin? This happened to the same, this exact same thing happened to Cal with Todd Bozeman when they had Jason Kidd and Tracy Murray about 20 years ago. Same exact thing.
Yeah, you know, it's like you just never know the effect. He may be close to a couple of the players. They're a little, you know, banged up on what's going on. Just a little
banged up, huh?
Well, yeah, well, you know, a little upset. You know, when you look at matchups this close, that's when I start to consider that kind of stuff. You know, like I don't think about it heavily when they're playing Hawaii, a team they should beat. But when you get to this, when you're kind of splitting hairs, the teams being so close, I look for anything along those lines to say what could maybe alter the outcome of the game. So I'll take Maryland in the tiebreak there. So let's talk quickly, Chris. Do your Huskies have another upset in them? Can they knock off Kansas to move to the Sweet 16?
Well, as my brother and I have talked about several times this year, I think Kansas is the best team in the country, and I think they're going to win the national championship. So that kind of answers the question. However, okay, I don't think that this game is going to be a walk for them. Connecticut lost five games by a total of 12 points. They were in every game they played. They had Maryland down to a final possession. The only two games that they were not in, okay, was the Houston game late, which was really killed their at-large bid, and then the game against SMU, which was senior night for the team that wasn't going to play in a tournament. I mean, there was no way they're winning that game. Connecticut is going to hang around in this game for a long time. They have talent. They have size. They have experience. They will be there in the second half. But unfortunately, Perry Ellis and Frank Mason – and Wayne Selden, and that group of Jayhawks, which I think is the best team in the country, will win that game probably late and at the foul line. But Connecticut will hang around, and they will defend hard in that game. That game will not be anywhere near 70 points. That game will be in the 60s, which is where Connecticut wants it. They don't want to get out into a game in the 80s with Kansas. They want that game in a half-court game, a 60-possession game. That's what they want, and they'll be around late, but I think Kansas has got too much this year. They're going to cut the nets down.
All right. Anyone, you know, Chris isn't picking Connecticut. Is anyone picking UConn?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, Scott, let's start with you. Kansas-Maryland, then, in the Sweet 16, the number one versus the number five. You could talk about Kansas a bit, since we haven't yet, and who do you like here?
Well, I agree with my brother. We've talked about it all year. I'm a big Bill Self fan. I love Selden. I love Ellis. I mean, they played a great game against Oklahoma, that first great game at the three
overtime game at the Fog Field. Oh, my God, what a game.
It was a fantastic basketball game, and they gutted out Oklahoma comeback after Oklahoma comeback after Oklahoma comeback. I don't think Maryland has a chance. And if they have one of their, you know, if Trimble struggles and they have one of their sloppy games, this game could be a 25-point blowout. So I'm taking Kansas.
Andrew?
I'm getting a little deja vu here. This is reminding me of 2013 when Kansas was a one seed. Everyone liked them. They were riding good momentum. And then they ran into a talented Michigan team that was kind of cold going into the tournament and then got hot because their starting five became incredibly efficient on offense. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is the one for Bill Self, and then Maryland knocks him out.
Wow. All right. Mr. Otella.
Well, I agree with Andrew. Kansas also never does well in this tournament, notoriously. They always are picked high, have a lot of expectations, and always choke. They're just like their two-seed counterpart in this, Villanova. They both choke in this tournament. But
it's the choke region. You got Kansas and Villanova.
I would not be surprised if Maryland wins at all. But I'm going to have to say Kansas. I think they're determined this year. There was this whole tournament is pretty much wide open anyway. But I'm going to go with Kansas.
All right. And Chris, you obviously liked Kansas as well. So Elite Eight matchup, we have Miami, we have Kansas. Just real quick, Matt, who do you like here?
Again, I'm going to go with Kansas. Even though Miami, again, is going to give them a heck of a battle. I think Miami could beat them as well, but I'm going to go with Kansas.
All right. Chris?
No, and like I said, I think Kansas is the best team in the country. I think they have talent up and down that lineup. I'm not saying all of them are bona fide NBA pros, but I think they're the best college team. And I think this is Bill Self. What Bill Self's done in the Big 12 has just been absolutely remarkable. And I don't think he needs to, he's not one of these coaches, I think, that needs to get a second national championship to validate his coaching skill. I mean, yes, he's struggled in these tournaments. He's lost games that he should have won, but, that's the way this tournament is. But I think his region sets up for him to get to the Final Four. And then at that point, it's all bets are off. But I think they're by far the best team in this region, and I think they're gonna prove it. And I think they win over Miami rather handily.
All right, Scott, we know you like Kansas as well. Yep. Andrew, do you want to speak up for Miami, or we're just gonna move Kansas to the Final Four here?
Miami's a worthy opponent, but I like Kansas in that matchup. The key matchups there would be Devon Reed versus Devontae Graham and Wayne Selden versus Sheldon McClellan. I'll take Kansas in both of those matchups.
All right. So with that said, why don't we go ahead and move down to the West after moving Kansas to the Final Four. I think we're all good moving Oregon along. We're not going to stump for Holy Cross at all, right? First time since, what, like 1943 or whatever the hell they're in the tournament?
Yeah. Yes. Bill Carmody.
Yes.
Former Fairfield assistant.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's look at another very interesting 8-9 matchup here in the West, and we'll start with you, Scott. We have St. Joseph's taking on Cincinnati.
Ugh. This is one. In the immortal words of good old J.R. Jim Ross, this is one of those bowling shoe ugly basketball games. St. Joe's, what a turnaround, a 14-game turnaround from a year ago. Cincinnati's just one of those teams, and Chris has watched them a lot this year. You don't want them to win because it's just bad television. I mean, they're just so awful to watch, even when they win. They have fundamentals. Mick Cronin's a good coach, but they just never win pretty. But who cares? Style points mean nothing. Having said that, I'm going to go with St. Joe's in this game. I think DeAndre Bembry's going to have a fun game. I think he's going to hit some big shots late. I think Cincinnati's worn out after that loss. I think they're demoralized because they're idiots. Defend the inbound. It's basketball 101. Stop celebrating. This isn't Rucker Park. And that's why they could have had a higher seed and didn't. St. Joe's wins.
Chris?
Having watched Cincinnati a lot, I agree with Scott. I mean, Cincinnati, that's just the way Mick Cronin, that's his style. He wants to drag you into the meat grinder. He wants to make every possession 30 seconds long, and you get one shot, and it won't be a good one. It's ugly basketball, but this is the way the college game is played. He's got three great players. Gary Clark, Octavius Ellis, and Troy Copain are all big-time college players. But when you look at a game that's very equal, you have to look at the team with the best player on the court, and that's DeAndre Bembry. He is a bona fide NBA player, and he'll be the best player on the court. And in games like this, that's usually my measuring stick when you have two teams that are pretty much equal. Who's got the best player on the court? And St. Joseph's does. So I think St. Joe's wins.
I don't trust anyone named Octavius. Andrew, who do you like here?
Chris makes a really good point. The A-10 usually has teams that kind of have that all-for-one, one-for-all personality. They don't always have star players or really good, bright talents. DeAndre Bembry, though, is going to be one of those talents that will probably be the best player on the court. But here's the thing about Cincinnati. Yes, they play ugly. Yes, their seasons are ugly. They always wind up at these lower seeds. But guess what else is ugly? NCAA tournament games. And they did this against Purdue in one of the worst games I ever saw last year. And then they gave Kentucky hell for about 20 or 30 minutes when Kentucky was the best team I ever saw. I'll take Cincinnati to win this one. I think they're just defensively better all across the board.
All right, Rotella, let loose on St. Joe's.
Oh, God. Talk about a coach who has kept a career over with Jameer Nelson. He has done nothing there. He's a bald-headed buffoon. Cincinnati is going to destroy him, or at least I hope. What if you saw the scene in Hall Villanova game when Jay Wright got taken out by Derek Gordon? I want one of Cincinnati's players just to take out that bald-headed buffoon. I'm going with Cincinnati.
Chris. I absolutely love Matt Rotella, okay? I mean,
that'll be the only time.
I can't stand Phil Martelli, okay? Ever since they picked Jameer Nelson to be the Wooden Award winner over Emeka Okafor in 2004, and
Jesus.
What's Jameer Nelson doing now? Pumping gas, or is he working at a 7-Eleven? Not that Okafor is light up the NBA either, but I think there's a significant difference in the talent level there, but yes.
I'll say this one
aside.
Martelli
I call him the bald-headed stooge.
Lenardi's going to throw his feety pajamas in the wash after this game.
I'll say this one thing about Phil Martelli and St. Joe's. Obviously, Chris remembers when they played UConn in 2014, they had to go to overtime. And I wondered to myself, how did they get that close against UConn and wound up winning it all? Then I realized after the fact, they had Ronald Roberts Jr., Langston Galloway, and DeAndre Bembry, who all play in the NBA. And I thought, holy shit, they probably should have beaten those guys. So it's not like they don't get talent there. You know, it's just that they come in waves for Phil Martelli. I can't comment on the rest, though.
Waves like his hair. So I can't go against Matt Rotella's anger. I'll go with Cincinnati. I don't think it matters either way.
He's a ball-headed stooge.
So we'll move Cincy along to face Oregon. Baylor-Yale, our tricky 5-12. Yale playing very close to home, but without their best player. I have seen them be the trendy pick from many. Of course, Baylor, you know, tends to have a spotty record in these games as well. Rotella, what do you think? Yale stand a chance out of the Ivy?
I like Yale a lot. Justin Sears is a great player. But I have to go with Baylor here, even though I think Yale could give them a heck of a battle.
Chris?
I mean, I like Yale. I mean, Yale. I was devastated last year when they had a chance to take the bid and blew it. But I mean, Justin Sears and Brandon Sherrod are two, you know, big time frontline players for Yale. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I thought the Big 12 was by far the best conference this year, and I'm all over the Big 12 teams this year, and I like Scott Drew. I think he's a good coach. I mean, Yale, I think, will hang around early, and if they get a sniff late, look out. I mean, you don't want to give a team like Yale, any hope late. So I think Baylor has to come out in the second half and kind of, you know, push the lead up into double digits and maybe break some spirit. But at the end, Baylor just has too much talent, and they'll win. But I'm really rooting hard for Yale, though.
All right, Andrew and Scott, either of you want to move or stump for Yale, or are we all pretty comfortable with Baylor moving on?
My friend has smart money saying that they're going to keep in that 5-point spread, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the game. Yale plays really good defense, but I agree with Scott about Baylor being battle-tested from a really, really good Big 12 conference. So I just can't go with the upset there, but I can't blame anybody for picking this one in the 12-5 matchups.
Scott, you want to say anything, or do you want to save your Baylor thoughts for the next round?
I would love to pick Yale simply on principle. Their captain, Jack Montague, is kind of a piece of crap, so
captain
I'm glad
Jack.
He was. I'm glad he was kicked off the team, and they went 17-1 without him, so he's useless anyway. I think Baylor is going to struggle in this game. And I think Yale, which is funny, Yale is a great rebounding team, but they don't have a lot of size. That means they know where to stand. I mean, JR and I, you and I watched PC Yale last year, and PC had mounds of size, and they were blowing rebounds left and right. And Big Brother, you lost to them because you couldn't rebound against them. So they know how to be in the right place at the right time on the defensive end.
We lost on a buzzer beater. It had nothing to do with rebounding.
Well, you had zero offensive rebounds in that game. That's why. But the point is, they know where to be in the right place at the right time. They're not a dumb team. And I'm not just saying that because they're in the Ivy League. I'm going to pick Baylor because I do think talent wins out in the end. But do not be surprised if Yale grinds this game down into the 50s and wins.
Yeah, and part of my karma theory with NCAAs, unless you're Vanderbilt, teams don't lose to low seeds like that 2 years in a row. And Baylor had their scare against Georgia State. And this time I don't think it's going to happen.
Yale State University. All right, so we'll go ahead and move Baylor on. 4-13, the Dukies. A little bit of eyebrows being raised when they checked in at a 4 seed. I believe they, you know, basically were considered the 13th best team in the country or something like that, which seems
yeah. But
off.
they don't get to play in Raleigh though. They had to go all the way across.
Well, they do play against fellow state mates, North Carolina, Wilmington. Anyone want to speak up for Wilmington, or else we're going to move Duke along?
I can't.
I wish I could. But we'll give them one game.
I want Duke to win.
As much as I'm going to, you know.
Yeah, Chris, finish your point. Okay, I guess he had no point.
I was like Ron Burgundy. all right, we'll move Duke on there. We'll talk about them in a little bit. Matt, why don't you start us off?
I hope they lose every game they play.
Well, we all hope that, but...
No, they'll probably win this one, so we'll move them ahead. Our 6 seed, Texas, taking on 11 Northern Iowa. Another trendy pick by year. Northern Iowa hanging around. Shaka Smart in place in Texas nowadays, though. And Matt, what do you think of that?
I actually like this matchup. I can see Northern Iowa pulling out the upset because every team from Iowa pretty much pulls off every upset this year, mainly. But Texas, everyone counts them out, and every year they count them out, they always do better than anyone expects them to. And give Rick Barnes that much credit, even though this is not his team anymore, those are still his players. They came to play. I'm going to go with Texas.
All right, Andrew.
This game is going to be slow and plodding. Neither of these teams like to get up and down. Even though Shaka Smart has this label that every team he does plays fast and they hurry people up. But this year he didn't really do that. Cameron Ridley came back, but he is definitely not 100%. The key matchup here is Wes Washpin for Northern Iowa, who hit that game winner against Evansville against Isaiah Taylor. They're both kind of attacking guards. They control the offense. Washpin is more careful with the ball. I've seen Northern Iowa beat Iowa State and North Carolina this year on their home court and one on the road. They're battle tested. It's kind of the same team just without Seth Tuttle, but I'll take them to beat Texas.
All right, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Washpin's a good player, and I watched him a couple times this year. They were on the network, my network, but he is not my brother's and my favorite mid-major player of all time, and that is the iconic Ali Farouk Manesh. There's only one of those. Only one guy could ever throw daggers at Bill Self and then drain a three when you're all alone on a fast break. Texas wins this game. As Reish says, I think it'll be slow and ugly. But Shaka's got more, you know, people forget Shaka's experience in this tournament. He's just on a team with more higher expectations. He'll win this game. I like the Longhorns.
Chris?
Actually, Texas and Northern Iowa believe this is just a pretty good stat. Are both of these teams beat North Carolina this year, which is, you know, if you think about it, North Carolina has
Texas,
like six losses. And,
Texas beat them on a buzzer beater by Javon Felix. Yeah.
Right. Washburn and Taylor will be a good. They're both guards that want to take you off the dribble. Smart is going to build a good program at Texas, but he's playing with, you know, our old buddy Rick Barnes players for the most part. So he doesn't have the talent that he wants to build his program around. I mean, he's a guy who wants to press you to death and turn you over. Doesn't have that talent yet, but he's done a great job because he's a good coach. But in the case of Northern Iowa, like Scott said, Ali Farouk Manesh is not walking through the door, and Washpun is not him. He was a guy that could just shoot it from the parking lot. This will be a pretty good game. But, again, it's Big 12, so Texas wins.
All right. Lacking upsets so far, guys, on this whole side, South and West. We haven't done much in the way of any top seeds toppling early on, and I think that'll continue here. Anyone want to speak up for Green Bay versus Texas A&M?
Boy, Green Bay plays fast, and they got a really good offense. But Texas A&M is just a bad matchup for them.
Aggies win.
All right, we'll move them along.
I mean, Green Bay wants to play in the 80s. I mean, they want to run up and down the court. They want to make it.
They beat up.
I mean, I thought Texas A&M was the best team in the SEC all season.
And they had to get out of a really good league, the Horizon, that had Valparaiso, who was a potential at-large, and Oakland, who had one of the best guards in the country in Kay Felder. So very battle-tested.
All right, let's look at the
– I like Jalen Jones, though.
All right, Chris, why don't you start us off with the 7-10, Oregon State and VCU, Shaka Smart's old team.
Oregon State was another team that I was kind of stunned got in, especially that lowest seed. Our highest seed, I guess. I thought they were a bubble team at best. I mean, the seventh seed is a solid, you know, at-large bid. But I'm going to take VCU in this game. Oh, Melba Johnson has made over 103-point shots this year. He could shoot it.
Matt?
I want to go with VCU on this one. Tress Tinkle, the coach's son, is probably not going to play in this game. So VCU is going to tinkle over Oregon State.
You were taking so long to set that softball.
You had to make sure he didn't mush mouth it out.
That's the most Jim Nancy thing I've ever heard.
You had to make sure he didn't mumble it all the way through, so he was trying to make sure he took his time.
You pulled through, Matt. You pulled through.
All right. Scott or Andrew, either of you want to speak up for Oregon State, or are we going to move VCU on?
No, I like VCU.
I like VCU. Oregon State, I think, is just happy to be there. It's their first tournament, I believe, since Gary Payton Jr.'s dad got him there.
All right. It's 20 years, I think. It's a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
Okay, Oklahoma, any issues there? Bakersfield,
Not Oklahoma City, not a chance.
Sooners won by 30.
All right, Scott, stick with the Sooners here. Is the number 2 against the 10 VCU. Any chance for VCU to pull an upset?
No. No. I think Lon Kruger is going to... I think right now in this little 3-day stretch, he's kind of smacking all his kids in the head. And that includes Buddy Hield. They have kind of fumbled their way through this last couple of weeks. They have a good basketball team, and they could win this whole thing. And it's a shame that they and Kansas are on the same side of the bracket, because what a final that would be. And I think VCU just they don't have the horses. Sooners win easily.
Reesh?
Buddy Hield, huh?
Hield, who cares?
Like Swing Hield?
Hi.
Exactly.
No, I really believe this, and this is not. This is not exaggeration. I think Buddy's going to score 40 on him.
I think so too.
Chris or Matt, either you want to talk about VCU, or we're all moving Oklahoma to the Sweet 16.
Oklahoma.
No, I mean, I think Oklahoma's little bad stretch of play there was just a matter of the fact that they're playing in the best conference. And I mean, every night, there's no night off in that conference. Everywhere you turn around, it's Texas, it's Kansas, it's Iowa State. I mean,
and it's
there's no nights off.
Yeah.
And I think that finally caught up to them, and they struggled a little bit down the stretch. But don't even think for a second that Oklahoma can't win the national championship, because they can. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably, you know, he could average, you know, 30 points a game in this tournament. He's that good. I mean, he's tremendous. But no, Oklahoma will win this game very easily.
All right. Let's head to the Battle of Texas then with our 3-6. Chris, you can stick with us here. Texas A&M.
I watched this game when they played. They played each other in the Bahamas in November, and A&M was basically controlled it. Now, Texas wasn't Texas now. I mean, you talk about games in November. Teams are different from November to now. But, you know, I liked A&M all year. And I like A&M here. It'll be a good game, close game, but I think Texas A&M's is just better.
Matt?
This is going to be an interesting game to watch, but I have to go with A&M here. Even though Big 12 is obviously the best conference, I think Texas A&M just has more talent than Texas does at this point.
Andrew?
like Chris said, we saw this one before, and Texas A&M controlled them pretty easily. I am a believer that a really good performance late in the conference tournament, even in a loss, can really carry over and help you. And I think for Texas A&M, they had a great SEC tournament final against a game Kentucky team that went to overtime. And Texas A&M looked better in that game than I saw all year long, including the battle for Atlantis early in the year. I think this is actually a pretty easy win for Texas A&M. Just too many guys.
And Scott?
I like A&M in this game, too. Size, they'll battle. They're going to own the paint. And they'll slow Texas down more than they already do. So I like the Aggies.
All right, so we'll move Texas A&M. Let's talk about that now. A&M versus Oklahoma, the 2-3, Scott. You can stick with us and give us your pick there.
I think Zig Heild is going to be perfect. I think he's going to score, have another big game. A&M will attempt to slow things down, and I think they, in the first half, I think Oklahoma's going to struggle a little bit with them. But in the end, I think Oklahoma's talent will step to the fore, and Sooners move on to the Elite Eight.
Matt?
I'm going to go with Oklahoma. Buddy Hield is the best player probably in the NCAA tournament in general, in my opinion. They're going to get a lot of motivation. Was playing Oklahoma City the first two games, so they're going to have a lot of things going for them. I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Andrew?
Yeah, it's an old-time Big 12 matchup in Anaheim. This one is actually, I believe, the toughest one that Buddy Hield might have at Oklahoma. Texas A&M has them beat in depth, for sure. You know, Tyler Davis, Jalen Jones, Alex Caruso, Daniel House, all awesome freaking players. But The thing is, Texas A&M has prided themselves on defense this year, getting takeaways, turning it into transition baskets. Oklahoma does turn the ball over a lot, but if they can't, and we saw this against Kentucky, if they can't guard the three and they let Oklahoma go bombs away, Oklahoma's going to win. It's so close. I've gone back and forth with it, but I'll take Oklahoma.
All right, and Chris?
I mean, I think the guards will end up being a wash. I mean, Woodard and Hield with the guards from Texas A&M. But I think the big matchup could be Davis and Latin under the basket. But at the end of the day, I just think Oklahoma – I mean, I watched a lot of Big 12 games this year. And, I mean, this is going to be a really, really good basketball game. I don't think there's any question about it. Texas A&M was the best team in the SEC. I still think they're the best team in the SEC, even though they lost the tournament game to Kentucky. And this is going to be a good game, but I mean, I love the Big 12. I love Oklahoma. And I think they're going to move on.
Yeah, Oklahoma does a lot of that 4-out, 1-in stuff that they do in the NBA, but they just do it really well because their guards can shoot.
All right, so put Oklahoma in the Elite Eight. Let's go up to Duke and Baylor, the 4-5. I know we got a lot of anti-Duke sentiment, and Chris, you're the biggest ringleader of that. So why don't you go ahead and take a minute. Do you think they will beat Baylor, or does Baylor roll on to the Sweet 16?
No, I like Baylor in this game. I saw Duke play a lot this year. They don't guard like they have in the past. They foul a lot, and they don't rebound. This is a Duke team that does not rebound the ball very well. And those, you have to be able to rebound the ball and keep your best players out of foul trouble. And without, I can't think of his name right now. Emile Jefferson. Without Jefferson, Duke's bench is light. I mean, Krzyzewski plays really six guys. So he doesn't have the depth that he has in the past. And I just don't think this is a vintage Duke year. I mean, they've lost 10 games already. So give me Baylor over Duke.
All right, Andrew.
I love the matchup of Torian Prince versus Brandon Ingram. I think Prince will be in the NBA next year, and Brandon Ingram might be number one, depending on who you talk to. Rico Gathers versus Marshall Plumlee, great matchup. Then you got Lester Medford at the point guard position for Baylor. He takes care of the ball. He dishes out a lot of assists. You know, Duke is not very deep. Baylor's not the deepest. They got a few more dudes than Duke does, especially with injuries. This one, I've also kind of gone back and forth. You know, the West is just wide open. I see a lot of different scenarios. But I'll take Baylor because their offense is not as good, but their defense is better than Duke's.
Matt?
Oh, I can't wait for this matchup. mainly because I'm going to be in Providence on Saturday watching this game live. I want Baylor to beat the living crap out of that white, great little white boy, Grayson Allen.
That white gray boy?
It's not like you're smoking white owls tonight.
I can't wait till Grayson Allen goes down.
I can't stand him. I can't stand the goblin of a coach Krzyzewski is. And I just want Baylor to run them out of the court, off the court. I want to be there live for it. Go Baylor.
All right, Scott, try and top that. Go ahead.
I think we have some clips for a new open.
Get away from this game.
We want people to listen to the show.
The thing about – oh, go ahead, Scott.
We know, Reesh. Okay, no. This is a rematch from a regional final a few years ago. It might have been the one where Duke beat Butler, and it was close for a while.
You're exactly right. It was the 2010 Elite Eight.
Yeah, and I think Baylor gets revenge here. I think foul trouble is the key, and I think Krzyzewski's going to have issues with personnel. I like Baylor.
The only thing I wanted to say, you know, before you spoke, is that the rebounding is going to be huge here. I watched Duke play North Carolina in a big time game in Cameron, and North Carolina just destroyed them in the paint rebounding. If they can't rebound with Baylor, they're in trouble.
All right, anyone want to talk about Cincinnati potentially upsetting Oregon, or are we all good with moving the Ducks to the Sweet 16?
Cincinnati Ducks will beat Oregon.
All right, anyone else?
No.
I think if Cincinnati gets by St. Joe, you know, it gets this far, they will beat Oregon as well.
The experience they got against Kentucky last year really, really helped them.
Wow. Cincinnati, the team, if they can get by, you know, a couple of rounds, and then they get to play a team that's, you know, a high seed, a lot of talk about them. You don't want to play Cincinnati. I'm telling you, you don't.
I'm not trying to debase Oregon as a one. Oregon's a really good team. Dylan Brooks.
They were the best team in the Pac-12. I absolutely
love Chris Boucher. I hope he gets another year of eligibility next year. He could do a lot. And then Tyler Dorsey's really good. Elgin Cook is really good. I worry about their size. I know they have versatility, but I worry about their size against Cincinnati if Cincinnati goes with big boy ball and slows it down.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
As much as I want to see Cincinnati win here, I don't think they're going to. They've always just gotten to that next round, and they just can't – the round of 32, and they haven't been able to get past that the last few years. I'm going to go with Oregon. I just think they're going to outplay them.
All right, tiebreaker. I say, fuck it. We need an upset. Let's move Cincinnati to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
And I can't imagine any of us are going to have Cincinnati beating Baylor, though.
Well, I didn't have Cincinnati going this far, so I like Oregon.
You mean Baylor?
I mean Baylor.
Okay.
No, against.
We moved Cincinnati over Oregon 3-2.
Cincinnati got through.
Oh, then I want Baylor.
Okay.
Because I think
Oregon's
going to move
on. I will
on.
Say this, if it happened. Oregon played Baylor and Oregon beat them. So there's that, but it didn't happen here.
Anyone against Baylor in this matchup against Cincinnati?
No, again, I think, you know, the more games that Cincinnati plays and the more confidence they get, the tougher they're gonna be defending. Baylor would have a tough game, but I think that's where Cincinnati's road would end. But like I said, you don't want to play them. They're ugly games. It's a rock fight. And they could get teams can get really, really frustrated and take stupid fouls, and that's the way Mick Cronin wants to play. So they're never out of any game. You can never count them out of any game. But I'll take Baylor. But I would not be surprised if Cincinnati, you know, won that game if they played.
All right,
I'd be surprised they won any game they played.
All right, Scott. This is to the Elite Eight, trip to the Final Four. Number 2 seed Oklahoma, number 5 seed Baylor.
I like Oklahoma. I think this is Buddy's chance continues. I think he's going to have he's having a Danny Manning-esque tournament here, or Glenn Rice. I think he scores. I think he scores a lot of points in this game. I don't think Baylor can keep up with them, and Oklahoma goes to Houston.
The Baylor Club, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I love Oklahoma. I mean, Baylor's got good players. Prince is a great player. Rico Gathers. They have plenty of talent. Scott Drew's a great coach, but this. I mean, I've watched a lot of Oklahoma. I love that team. I think they get through.
All right, Matt.
I'm just gonna say Oklahoma. As everyone has said, good Buddy Hield.
Okay. Andrew, anything different you want to talk about there, or we can just move over to the Midwest?
Just a tidbit. We haven't had a score with over 25 points per game get to the Final Four since Dennis Scott when he was with Lethal Weapon 3 with Georgia Tech in 1990. But I think it happens here. We've seen it already twice with Oklahoma and Baylor. Oklahoma won both times. The second one was much closer than we thought it would be. But I got Oklahoma winning that game, and they're dancing.
All right, Oklahoma, Kansas, two of our Final Four are set. Let's move over to the Midwest. We'll boogie over there. Virginia, Hampton. I'm going to go ahead and move Virginia ahead because I don't think any of us see the 116 happening. That takes us to another Big East team. That is the 9-seed Butler taking on 8-seed Texas Tech. We'll start with you, Matt, with a little Big East insight. What do you think? Can Butler mild upset here over Texas Tech?
I think Butler will definitely beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech... I haven't seen a lot of their games, so I can't really comment on them. But Butler can flat out shoot. Kellen Dunham is a great player. And Roosevelt Jones, we want to talk about a player who's been there since eight years. He's a great player. I'm gonna go with Butler.
Still hobbling through the lane all these years later. Chris, who do you like here?
I like Texas Tech. Texas Tech beat Iowa State, they beat Baylor, they beat Oklahoma. They beat some teams this year. They beat Texas. They beat Hawaii. So I like Texas Tech again. I'm one of these guys. You guys probably know this by now. When I pick teams out, I think that who are the best conference. I think the Big 12 is the best conference. I like Texas Tech. I didn't see Butler very much. I saw a couple of games, but this isn't a vintage Butler team. You know, a Brad Stevens Butler team. They're a good team, but I think Texas Tech coming out of that conference, and they're ready for this type of tournament. They played so many good teams.
Butler's really good offensively. That's their
yeah. They don't guard very well.
Yeah. Rich, what do you like here?
I actually with Matt Rotella. I don't think a lot of people have seen Texas Tech. They're kind of an anonymous team, no stars. I kind of scratch my head how they even made the tournament at all, but they're here. I like Butler here. I'm tired of picking against Butler in the tournament, regardless of who their coach is, because they're just really freaking smart. They always find a way to get mismatches. Their offense is really good, like you said. Defensively, they got issues. While Texas Tech's a little better in the metrics, but I'll take Butler here. Roosevelt Jones is I believe, a senior. So is Kellen Dunham. I think they'll be able to just outshoot them.
Yeah, I mean, and Butler did win 7-9 down the stretch. They lost to the top two teams, which I think puts them in a good enough position to at least win a game.
This has nothing to do with anything, but they scored 144 points on the Citadel to start the season.
Yes,
they did. So they can get hot. They can get hot.
And, I mean, honestly, and PC was their bugaboo. I mean, you know, three losses to them, you take those away, and they had a pretty good year. Other than that, for whatever reason, the matchup just didn't favor them.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, any team that beats Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas, who are three teams in the tournament, and Oklahoma is certainly a team that can go to the Final Four, and Iowa State is going to make me, you know, take notice.
Yeah. All right, Scott, you're
going to
tie it up?
I don't think there's too many teams that could say that they've got that kind of wind on their resume. That's my point about Texas Tech.
I'm actually going to piggyback my brother. I'm going to go with the Red Raiders in this game too. Plus, it's Tubby Smith. Experienced tournament coach, to win a gauntlet like that, and Butler struggled against the best teams in the Big East, and you know mollywhomped on the scrubs, Georgetown included. So, and I mean Butler's got some talent, but Texas Tech went through a gauntlet to get here. I think they've earned their spot, and I think they win.
All right, I'm gonna for the first time I get to go against the brothers Cricolo, so I'm gonna do it here. We'll take Butler. It doesn't matter. Anyone have either of those teams beating Virginia?
No.
Butler gave Notre Dame a scare last year. I don't see it this year.
All right. So we're going to go to move Virginia to the Sweet 16. We'll come back to them in a few minutes. Anyone want to talk 5-12 here? A Little Rock and Purdue.
Purdue is way too big.
Not a Matt Painter fan, though.
You're talking up.
I'm going to take Arkansas Little Rock. Matt Painter is not a big game coach.
Is this a big game? I mean, it is, but.
Well, anything now from now on is a big game. Marcus Johnson's a good player. So is Josh Hagans. You know, you don't win 29 games by accident, regardless of your conference. You know, I just think that and watching the last like couple minutes of the Big Ten final against Michigan State, Purdue is not a very bright team either. They don't take their time on the offensive end. They don't look for good shots. And I think that's going to hurt them. And I think Little Rock's going to sneak up on them early. This is going to be one of those games, kind of like when Louisville lost a few years ago to, I can't remember where they lost.
Morehead
they got knocked
State.
Out. Yeah, where Morehead State pretty much led the whole game almost. Mm-hmm. And I feel this game's going to be like that. I think Little Rock's going to jump out early, and I don't know. I don't think Purdue's going to know how to catch up. So I'm taking the Trojans of Arkansas Little Rock.
Chris?
Little Rock actually has a tremendous defense. They were, I think, either second or third in points per game allowed in Division I, 59 and change, which is tremendous. Now, of course, they don't play in a conference that got with teams that's going to have big-time players.
Third fewest in the nation.
What's that? Third fewest? Yeah. But Purdue has just got so much size. I mean, they're not a big team. I mean, they're
a huge team.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the size is probably it's probably going to be too much, because how do you rebound against a team that's got that kind of, you know, giants under the basket? So I'll take Purdue. I like Matt Painter. Big Ten had a decent year, but I think Little Rock probably is going to hang around for a little while, but the size for Purdue, they're not going to have any answer for those guys under the basket.
Matt, you good with us moving Purdue on?
I'm good with them moving on, but I think Matt Painter still has a lot to prove. I think he's had more talented teams and didn't go as far as they should have. I have to go, but Purdue has to win this game for Painter to keep his job, pretty much, I think.
All right, 4-13, Anthony Armento's upstart Iona Gales taking on the number 4 seed Iowa State. Scott, talk about your boy Anthony. What do they think? You get a shot here for Iona?
I watched Iona a few times this year. Fairfield actually beat them, which tells you what I may think of them against Iowa State. But Fairfield played a spirited game that night. Iona's got a lot of talent. They had injury issues early in the year. Kazmir can never play again. He's got to quit basketball, but he was their future point guard. AJ English, I mean, I watched that guy hit like 9 straight threes against Fairfield in New Rochelle. I mean, the guy could shoot from anywhere. He could shoot from the bathroom. The problem is they play no defense. I mean, they lost to Monmouth this year like 108-105. I mean, and I can't see Iowa State losing in the first round 2 years in a row. They looked dreadful against UAB last year. I can't see them doing it 2 years in a row. Sorry, Double A, but I'm moving the Cyclones on. But Iona could push the offense and may make Iowa State score more than they probably want to. But Iona just plays no defense. I like Iowa State.
Rochelle, a musical. All right, Matt, you've obviously also seen Iona up close. Do they have a shot to pull the upset?
I don't think they do. I think Iowa State's going to play defense against them, and they win. If you want to know one of the biggest tools in the NCAA, it's Isaiah Washington.
Yes, he's a scrub.
5 minutes of him, he's the biggest tool you'll ever see in your life.
He's a scumbag. I can't stand him. But the kid Roundtree for Iona is going to be very good, and he's probably going to be their best player next year. But they don't play defense.
Yeah,
and
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say I agree with you, Matt. You can't just start playing defense now. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen.
Clues came out of the Keno Davis handbook of coaching defense, which is none.
All right, Chris. To keep in mind, we've had no 5-12s, no 4-13 upsets yet in our third bracket. What do you think, Iona? Maybe.
Well, I mean, I picked a couple of upsets. The group as a whole hasn't, but
correct.
No, this is a track meet, okay? This game, you know, is like watching a tennis match. It's like going to a tennis match and watching a basketball game break out. Nobody guards anybody. Iona, they don't even wait for the shot clock guys better not be drinking before this game, because they're going to be switching the 30-second clock off and on an awful lot. First 1-80 wins this game. I bet you the over-under in this game will be probably 165. But Iowa State, again, too talented. I don't think Iona will have anybody to stop George's Niang. So give me Iowa State.
All right. And Chris, we'll stay right there for Iowa State Purdue in the four versus five to go to the Sweet 16.
Again, this will be a really good game. I didn't see much of Purdue this year. I know Matt Painter's a good coach. I mean, Swanigan's a great player and Hammond. But again, I'm Big 12 biased this year. Give me Iowa State.
Andrew?
Scott made a good point about Purdue. They're kind of a stubborn team. They go into their Twin Tower offense, and I feed that off to you so you can do your Akeem impersonation later. They got their big boy ball there with AJ Hammonds and Isaac Haas, and then Caleb Swanigan, who's a really good playmaking power forward. He was a McDonald's All-American last year, might go to the NBA. A lot of depth there. I'm not a big fan of Matt Painter either. Virginia's a team that in the tournament, you got to show me something. But I'll say this. If Rafael Davis can't do a really good job defensively on Malcolm Brogdon, they have no chance to beat Virginia because Virginia's going to control the clock.
All right, wait. So we're on Purdue, Iowa State. Who do you have winning that one?
Which one?
Purdue, Iowa State. You somehow got onto Virginia. I don't know where we lost you along the
way.
Oh,
crap.
What did you do? Get warbled in your own mind?
Damn it.
That's right. Pick one between the two. Purdue, Iowa State.
Purdue, Iowa State. I'll take Iowa State there. Okay. Or, I'm sorry. I'll take Purdue there. Okay. I'm all flustered now.
All right. We got two Purdues. Matt?
I'm going with Iowa State. I'm going to go with the Chris way of thinking. They play in the better conference. And Matt Painter just seems to find a way not to win this tournament. I'm going with Iowa State.
All right, Scott, you're going to tie it up or you're going to push Purdue along?
Chris,
you took Purdue, right?
I didn't even pick Purdue, so I like Iowa State to move on.
All right. Chris took Purdue, right? Make sure I'm tracking this right.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's go with the...
No, I didn't pick Purdue.
You took Iowa State?
Absolutely. I'm Big 12 all the way.
All right, we're good then. Iowa State moves on to face Virginia.
So I did that entire Purdue-Virginia thing, and it meant nothing.
Absolutely correct.
So
yes.
I need to get a retry and do this all over again.
In a moment, yes.
Because pal. What are you, Sid?
We're live, pal.
All right, pal.
We're going to the Sweet 16 then. We'll talk about this matchup, see who gets the Elite Eight. We have number 4, Iowa State, number 1, Virginia, and Mr. Rotelli, you're up.
Is that the
Shockmaster's
wall?
Is this it? Is this the Shockwall pick of the night?
It is.
Yes.
Because I like Virginia. I love Malcolm Brogdon. He's a great player, very smart player. But I think Iowa State is going to go into this tournament pissed off of last year. They prove they can win the big game. I'm going with Iowa State. I think Virginia was probably I was most surprised by them getting into a number 1 seed. I thought Michigan State should have been number 1. I'm going with Iowa State here.
And Virginia is going to hit the
shock wall.
All right. All right. Andrew, go ahead. Take your moment. Iowa State, Virginia.
Tempo is huge here. Iowa State under Steve Prohm now because Fred Hoiberg's with the Bulls. They still play really, really fast. They're not very deep. Virginia dips into their bench a little bit more, obviously much better defensively than Iowa State is. Offensively, efficiency-wise, they're really, really close. But obviously, like I said, tempo's huge. Neither team gets to the free throw line a lot, but Iowa State never gets to the free throw line. So it's going to be up to whether or not how physical it is and how the refs call it, because you never know in these tournament games sometimes the whistles get a little tighter. They start, calling fouls on everything. We'll see here in Chicago. I'm still going to take Virginia here, but it's a contrast of styles. And, I've seen the upset happen a lot of times in those situations.
Scott?
Iowa State plays no defense. Virginia, top 10. Offensively and defensively in terms of efficiency in KenPom. I like the Cavaliers to move on.
All right, Chris.
I love Virginia. I love Tony Bennett. Malcolm Brogdon is a Player of the Year candidate. He's an NBA player. This is, again, one of those games where the team that's got the best player on the floor, and Brogdon's it. I mean, Georges Niang's a good player. He'll be an NBA guy, but Brogdon is a game changer. He can do so much. He can shoot. He can defend. He can rebound. He can get in the lane. So give me Virginia over Iowa State. A very good basketball game, though. But tempo will be a key there. I think Virginia wins.
Tony Bennett this year has the one thing he didn't have the other years. He has Brogdon, a go-to scorer. He didn't really have that the other 2 years.
He's a real crooner. All right, let's head down to the second half of this bracket. We have the 6 seed, Seton Hall, that many feel maybe got a little undervalued here,
kind of get the shit treatment, winning the Big East tournament, and then send out pretty much West to Denver to face number 11 Gonzaga. Mr. Reich, what do you think here? Seton Hall, can they stay hot? Can they keep rolling? Is a Whitehead playing really well? Carrington's playing well, but can Gonzaga conjure up some of that old March Madness magic?
Sometimes momentum winning these conference tournaments can be overrated. We saw with Iowa State last year where they had a lot of momentum and then they just dropped a shit bomb against UAB. So you just never know. Gonzaga beating them would not be like the biggest upset ever. Last year they were one of the best teams in the field. Gonzaga obviously took a huge, huge hit when they lost Przemek Karnowski. That was pretty much their space eater inside. Now they rely a lot on Kyle Wilcher and Domantas Sabonis, so their backcourt is very, very weak. Guess where Seton Hall excels? In the backcourt. So I'm going to take Seton Hall here.
All right. Matt?
I love the Seton Hall team. The way they played against Xavier and then Villanova in back-to-back nights, they pretty much controlled both games from the get-go. They're extremely athletic. I like Sonogo, which is not a guy not a lot of people talk about. Delgado down low, he is good. I think Gonzaga definitely has a better front court, but it's all about the back court. Seton Hall is going to win.
Chris?
Unlike my brother, okay, who is a staunch Kevin Willard hater, I like Kevin Willard. I think he's a good coach. And how he got Isaiah Whitehead to come to Seton Hall, I have no idea, because that guy was getting recruited by everybody and their mother. And how he got him was a great get. And he is a superstar. And Desi Rodriguez is a guy for Seton Hall who's going to be a player in this tournament. Gonzaga's got Wilcher. It's got Sabonis. But the guards that Gonzaga has this year are not quite as good as guards in past Gonzaga teams. And I think that's the reason why they struggled this year. I like Seton Hall to win this game. And by the way, I don't know that they deserve to be any ranked seeded any higher than a 6. I think that's a pretty good seed for them.
Yeah, I meant more about where they were sent in the matchup more than anything more.
Okay. Well, no. I love them in this game. This is not a vintage Gonzaga team. I'm actually, you know, I like Seton Hall. I like to see them do well. We're waiting for the vitriol from Scott about Kevin Willard coming.
All right, Scott,
I'm sorry. Justin has a really good point that I didn't have a huge problem with, like, teams being left out and all that. I had a problem with the bracketing because if you look at this, you've got two sub-regionals in the Midwest, and they're in Denver, freaking Colorado. So you do have some problems here.
All right, Scott, go ahead.
My problem is Gonzaga sucks. I hate Mark Few. I hate the West Coast Conference. Maybe a little more than I hate Kevin Willard. I'm so tired of talking about Gonzaga and their stupid conference with all those crap teams at the bottom of the bracket, the San Francisco Dons and San Diego and Pepperdine and all the – I'm so sick of it, and I'm sick of talking about St. Mary's. The whole conference is overrated.
Bill Walton's not walking – I mean, Bill Russell's not walking through the door, Scott.
He's absolutely not walking through the door. He's absolutely not. I'm tired of Gonzaga, and I'm tired of that stupid conference. Seton Hall is going to bang around and beat on them and move on to the second round.
All right. Anyone want to pick Fresno State over Utah? Or are we good moving Utah along?
Fresno State's got a great guy who could score in Marvell Harris, but that's about all they have.
I'm not a Utah fan, but they're better than Fresno State.
Okay.
Go Utah.
All right. Let's talk 3-6 then, Scott. You can start with you, Seton Hall, Utah.
I'm going to go with the Pirates. I think they're going to be more physical. Again, I will give Utah their due. We've talked a lot about the Pac-12. I'm not doing my Barkley voice. I don't really have one. But it was a good conference this year, and Utah kind of maneuvered their way through to get to a 3 seed. But Seton Hall just, and this is not a dig on my two Friar boys, but it takes a lot of talent to sweep Providence, considering the year they had. And I think they deserve the credit for that. I think they mangle Utah physically. I think the guards play well, and I like Seton Hall to move on to Sweet 16.
Reish?
Again, a very different contrast of styles. You got Seton Hall with their really good backcourt and their athleticism in the front court. And then you got Utah, a little bit of a lethargic team, but a very well-coached team, very efficient. They don't get a lot of turnovers, but Seton Hall turns the ball over a lot. So we'll see if Utah can kind of change their style a little bit so that they can try to take advantage of Seton Hall's weaknesses. I think a big thing here that I notice is that Utah does not foul a lot. And you know how important free throws are here, but Seton Hall is one of the worser teams in the tournament in free throw percentage. So the free throw opportunities that they do get down the stretch, they've got to make them. I see them kind of cracking there. I'll take Utah.
All right, Chris?
I really want to take Seton Hall in this game, but here's where what Reish said before makes total sense, and it's unfortunate for the Pirates, but this game being played in Denver. Is this game in Denver?
Yes.
Utah will pack the house. I mean, it's a short drive from Salt Lake to Denver versus coming from, you know, South Orange to Denver. So there's going to be a lot of Utah fans. I don't know how well Seton Hall will travel that distance. I'm sure they'll have fans there, but it's basically a road game. They'll play hard. It'll be a tight game late, but I think the home court advantage will get Utah over the top. It'll be a very, very tight game, but I'll take Utah.
Matt?
I'm going to tie it up here because I really like the Seton Hall team. And just to say, Isaiah Whitehead is probably going to recruited there by Fred Hill. Fred Hill's a great recruiter. He can't coach for a lick, but he can definitely recruit. But I just love the Seton Hall team, especially seeing them the last two games. Their hands are all over the place. As much as they turn it over, they make the other team turn over just as much. If it comes down to free throw shooting, though, Utah will win because Seton Hall stinks at free throw shooting. But I'm going to go with Seton Hall.
All right, I will too. Fuck him. Keith Van Horn can go screw himself. All right, we'll move Michigan State over Middle Tennessee. Let's talk that 7-10 with the very unworthy Syracuse taking on, as Matt Rotella would say, Dayton, the 7 seed.
D-domed.
Chris, you think Syracuse can get their shit together? This seems like the team that always gets the most crap for making the tournament and they shouldn't have somehow pulls the win in the first round. Do you think it's possible here?
Well, first of all, I have to say that it's an absolute travesty that Syracuse is in this tournament. They do not belong here by any stretch of the imagination. So needless to say, they're here, and they're going to win this game. Dayton did not finish as strong in their conference tournament. But Syracuse has to make perimeter shots. They don't have size. I mean, Benajay, Cooney, Richardson, that's where Syracuse points come from. They're vulnerable in the middle of the zone, and Dayton has players that can get into that zone, but Dayton probably doesn't see that zone very much. And that's always the tough thing when you play against Syracuse is how do you, attack the zone? And if you haven't played against it a lot or have seen it a lot, it's difficult. So I think Syracuse will probably win this game. But like I said, they do not belong in this tournament by any stretch.
No, it's pure reputation. And, we're talking about this off air as well. They get the benefit of the doubt because Boeheim missed those games. But to me, then you're rewarding the team that was being punished. It's like, all right, yeah, so Syracuse, they punished themselves. Boeheim missed the whatever it was, 9 non-conference games. But we're just going to ignore those and focus on the ones who was there. What's the point of the punishment if you're ignoring the games that they were punished during? I feel like other teams probably didn't get the benefit of the doubt when it came to injuries or guys missing time. But because of the name and who they are and the fact they want them in the tournament, I feel like they got extra benefit of the doubt. So I'm with you, Chris. I don't think they belong there at all. Scott, do you think they have a shot against Dayton?
Monmouth would be Dayton. But Syracuse will not. 2-3 zone, 3-2 zone, all you want. If you're not that good at it, it doesn't matter. And I'm sorry. You lose to St. John's, you're lucky you even have a program. I mean, Georgetown swept St. John's, for Christ's sakes. And Syracuse lost to them. They don't belong
here. The four of us and my wife could beat St. John's.
Yeah. Dayton gave, and again, I mean, you, JR, you and the Silverback know Dayton very well. Similar team. I just think they're better than Syracuse. I know they struggled to the end of the year, but sometimes that works to your advantage.
Matt?
I agree with everyone else. Syracuse does not belong here. And as Seth Davis said and as Scott said, if you can't beat St. John's, you don't belong here. Scoochie Smith is a great player. Pollard is very underrated. I'm going to go with Dayton here.
All right. Andrew, really quick. Dayton?
It's a rematch from 2 years ago when Dayton beat Syracuse in an upset. Syracuse, they're three ball happy. You know, the 2-3 zone is a little bit weak this year. They definitely have a lot of holes, but they do get a lot of steals. Michael Gabinejay is a good player. They were hot to start the season. I'll just go ahead and take Syracuse. It might be a reputation pick of sorts, but I am not very, very high on Dayton necessarily.
If
fuck Syracuse. We'll move. Oh, I hate Dayton, too, from last year. All right, we'll move Syracuse along, even though they don't belong. Because I do feel like there's always that one team that shouldn't get in, and then they win a game. Anyone have any issue with moving Michigan State through to the Elite Eight? Do you think they have any shot to lose to Syracuse or Seton Hall or no. Utah, whatever?
No.
No. Okay. I think Seton Hall will break their stones, but Tom Izzo just knows this tournament like the back of his hand. So right. He moves on to the Elite Eight.
All right, really quick, let's get through here because we still got one more bracket to go to. Chris, Michigan State, Virginia.
I don't know why these two teams are in the same bracket. They couldn't have put them, you know, elsewhere. They just shouldn't be. They shouldn't be here. I don't. This is where I agree with Andrew about as far as how they bracketed. I guess this was basically telling you Virginia was the four number one versus Michigan State the number one number two. I personally thought Michigan State belonged in the field as a number one seed. This would be a great game. In fact, it's probably a toss up game. But at the end of the day, you have to look at the two teams. What's the one thing that Michigan State has? Tom Izzo.
Scott?
I agree up to that end point. Tom Izzo is a great tournament coach, like I said. But Virginia did not forget what happened 2 years ago at the Garden. I think Tony Bennett wills this team, and they go to Houston.
Andrew?
Oh, man. This has that sense of inevitability, kind of like it did with Wisconsin and Arizona out in the West Coast 2 years in a row, and they had two great games. Man, Virginia, terrific team, but when I watched them against North Carolina, that ACC final, and North Carolina sort of pushed through and kind of found that peak for themselves, and they beat Virginia in a tight one, I felt to myself, man, I do not know how they're going to beat Michigan State if Michigan State plays well, because Michigan State, in terms of metrics, is just really good at everything. Assists, three-pointers, they're going to find something to take away from Virginia and take advantage of that pack line, and I think for the third year in a row, Tom Izzo eats Tony Bennett's lunch.
Matt?
I'm going Michigan State. As I said before, I thought they deserved to be a number one seed in this tournament. I love Denzel Valentine. And Tom Izzo, you never count against them in this tournament. I'm going with Michigan State.
All right, we got Kansas, Oklahoma, Michigan State in the Final Four. Teams aren't going to move through to the second round in the East. If anyone wants to speak up, do it now. North Carolina moving on to round two. Kentucky over Stony Brook. Xavier over Weber State. Any issues with any of those three?
Weber State will give them a scare for about 30 minutes. They got two really good players, Joel Ballenboy and Jeremy Senglin.
Anyone disagree with those three moving on?
I have to say, go Seawolves, okay? Steve Peichel is a former Connecticut player. He's a former Connecticut assistant coach. He's done a tremendous job. He completely destroyed the America East this year. So I'm really going to, you know, root hard for Stony Brook. I don't think they'll win the game, but I got to plug Steve Peichel. He's done a fantastic job at Stony Brook.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Stony Brook this year. They run SNY a lot, and I agree. They're very good, disciplined team, but
yeah, they walked through the America East. And I can't think of the kid's name, but they've got a player in the basket.
Jameel Warney. He is not a good mid-major player. He is a great mid-major player.
Yeah, but Kentucky's going to have 43.
He put up 43 in the championship game on 18 for 22 from the field. I mean, that's efficient.
All right, anyone sniffing a 3-14 West Virginia, Stephen F. Austin?
I see it. Stone Cold Stunner, Steve Austin wins.
As much as I hate fat pants, I think Mountaineers move on.
No, I mean, I'm not a Huggins guy either, but I love teams that guard like his teams do. They will turn you over left and right. I like West Virginia.
Stephen F. Austin can play fast too, and their defense is really good as well, and they have a playmaker in Thomas Walkup. I just think this is one of those ones where West Virginia might get a little cocky, take them for granted, and Stephen F. Austin gets them.
Matt, you good with West Virginia?
I'm going with West Virginia, yeah.
All right. 11 playing game, Michigan, Tulsa. I think we all pretty much believe Tulsa doesn't belong here. Do either of those teams have a shot with Notre Dame?
No.
Okay. So we'll move.
I mean, I honestly don't even know if Michigan belongs. To be honest with you, I mean, Tulsa's a joke. I watched them play. They're terrible.
They are the worst at large bit I've ever seen.
I mean, they lost to Memphis twice, and Memphis was a dumpster fire all year. So I don't even want to – I mean, don't even get me started.
Was the committee drunk this year? All right, man, well, I don't get it. Were they just throwing darts on a wall?
American had three really good teams.
Let's say
SMU,
let's get to the
that they're not in.
Let's get to the
three
bracket.
Good teams this year.
Let's get to
SMU,
the bracket.
SMU, Connecticut, and Cincinnati. That's all they've had. And SMU would have been in this tournament, and they would have been a good seed, and they would have done well in this tournament.
Well,
but they're not here. Tulsa doesn't belong here, and I'm not sure Michigan does either. But Michigan will win, but neither one of those teams is going to win in the next round.
I need the round the horn button. All right, listen, let's get through the bracket. If we want to bitch about the committee, we'll see if we got time after. 5-12, Indiana, Chattanooga. Anything sniffing? This is our last chance for a 5-12.
I like the Mocs.
No way. Indiana wins.
I like the Mocs.
I'll tell you what, if the Mocs
I've kind of fallen off the Tom Crean bandwagon. They should have won the Big East. They should have won the
Big Ten. When did you fall off the Tom Crean bandwagon? Because Indiana already did.
So why do you got them winning? I think they're going to lose.
They're more talented than Chattanooga.
Nah, when did that ever matter with Tom Crean? I mean, they should have beat Michigan. They should have beat Michigan. They should have won this tournament. They're probably better than Michigan State. And they didn't. So
Scott and I have been running the Tom Crean hot seat meter all year long.
Yeah.
It was hot in the beginning. He was killing the Big Ten, and it was cold for a while, and now it's hot again. If he doesn't get to at least the Elite Eight, he could be in trouble. And I love Chattanooga in this game.
The Mocs
will bite.
Matt McCall, Billy Donovan guy, so he learns defense, efficient offensive possessions. I love Yogi Ferrell, great player. He's going to be a good NBA player. Chattanooga wins.
Matt?
I got to go to Indiana because I think they have more of a bone to pick with everyone and more of a momentum I have to go into, especially if they're losing the first round game in the Big Ten. So I have to go with Indiana.
Best player on the court. I'll go with Indiana, advance down to face Kentucky. Wisconsin-Pittsburgh, the 7-10 to face Xavier. Matt, good.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin just because they have more experience. Pitt, they had some good wins. They played a lot tougher than I thought they were this year, but I think Wisconsin's going to beat them.
Probably another team that is very iffy about getting in was Pittsburgh. When you look at their record and what they did, what they have, like, no, what the hell was the big stat we talked about it yesterday? No,
they were 3-32, I think.
Non-conference strength schedule. Chris, who do you like here? Pitt, Wisconsin.
Pitt. This is one Jamie Dixon team that doesn't guard. They usually guard very well, but they don't guard this year. And any team that schedules, you know, the VA hospital in their non-conference, then. Forget it. They don't belong in, and I think they lose handily in that game.
Andrew, Scott, either you take Pittsburgh or we go with Wisconsin.
No. I've got Pittsburgh. I think that Wisconsin was the iffy team that got in.
All right, well, let's move Wisconsin along. Anyone think they can beat Xavier?
No way.
I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I think on both offensive ends of the floor, but I think Xavier has more talent.
Chris and Matt, you good with Xavier?
Yeah.
Yeah, Xavier's got balance. They're good inside and out. I actually think they were the best team in the Big East.
All right, let's finish off and get the other Sweet 16 team here, Notre Dame, West Virginia. Old school Big East matchup. Well, middle old school Big East matchup.
Yes, middle.
Andrew, who do you like here?
If West Virginia is able to speed up Notre Dame, which I think they'll be able to do pretty handily unless Mike Bray is able to really limit the field goal percentage for West Virginia, which is not the hardest thing to do because they take really terrible shots. I'll just take West Virginia here. Their big guy. The biggest matchup here is Devin Williams versus Zach August. I think Devin Williams will get the advantage there.
Matt?
I'm going to go with West Virginia. I do like Notre Dame a lot, but again, with Mike Bray, he doesn't do well in tournaments. I want to go with West Virginia.
Chris?
I mean, I do like West Virginia, but Reish made a good point. I mean, I watched Zach August this year. Notre Dame's uniforms are hideous, by the way. It looks like a mustard bottle.
I love them. I can't lie.
I love them.
Disagree.
Anyway, but he is a big time player. He defends. He rebounds. He blocks shots. And he can score. He will be the difference in this game because West Virginia really, I don't think can handle him under the basket, and I think he'll be the difference in the game. I think Notre Dame will upset West Virginia.
Who's left? Scott?
As much as I hate his guts, for some reason I feel West Virginia is going to shut Notre Dame down and slow the game down. I think defense dominates that one, and I will take Huggy Fat Pants in that one to the Sweet 16.
All right, anyone take it West Virginia or, I guess, Notre Dame if you want to cover quickly over Xavier? We haven't talked much about Xavier. They play the great 1-3-1 zone. They shoot the lights out. When they go cold, it gets ugly fast. But like Chris mentioned, they arguably were the best team in the Big East. They're hot. I think they have a pretty, you know, decent half of the bracket. I like them to go to the Elite Eight. Anyone disagree?
Nope. I like Xavier here. The biggest thing here is that West Virginia is one of the worst teams in the country at fouling, and Xavier is one of the best teams in the country at getting to the free throw line.
Xavier can handle the pressure, and that's why they would beat West Virginia.
Go ahead.
If they played Notre Dame, it'd be a different game. I think Notre Dame could win that game. But West Virginia is all about pressure, and Xavier can handle the pressure, so that it kind of washes it out. And that's basically all that West Virginia relies on is their turnovers.
All right, Matt, we've been waiting all night for it. Number 9 seed, Providence Friars, take on the number 8 USC Trojans. I think as far as PC played their way into this matchup, the way they played down the stretch, turned it on the last month or so, but no one to blame but themselves for being in the 9 seed. However, that said, I think of all the matchups they could have possibly gotten, I think USC is probably one they would take, especially on the East Coast, bringing them across the country. USC does obviously shoot really well three-pointers, but, of course, away from home, struggles. We're very good at home and played solid in the conference, tough on the road. Tough luck on the road, I should say. PC has been a very good road team. Chris Dunn, Ben Bentil, arguably the two best players on the floor at any time in this game. USC has a depth, probably the next three or four best guys on the court after that. Matt, what do you think? PC finally get the monkey off the back and advance around here?
I think they'll definitely win this game. Chris Dunn has a ton of talent. If he's playing well and up to his ability, they could actually go pretty far. But it's also a matter of who steps up. Ben Bentil and Dunn need someone else's help. Rodney Bullock can get going. Jalen Lindsey, I think, has one of the best three-point shots on the team. He just needs to get his confidence going.
And he's had it the last couple games. So,
yeah.
Anyone want to speak up for USC?
The one advantage USC definitely has is that they're one of the best teams in the tournament at three-point field goal percentage. Providence is one of the worst. They're bad at field goal percentage on twos and threes in general. But Chris Dunn in an open court is just going to be a nightmare for USC.
All right, so we'll move PC on, and we'll start with you, Chris, for PC versus North Carolina, the 1-9.
I mean, as far as Dunn goes, I mean, last year they should have beaten Dayton, okay? If they get a tight called game and he's in foul trouble, PC's all about foul trouble. If either one of their two guys get in foul trouble, they're done. And it's been proven this year in the tournament just passed and last year against Dayton. When one of those two guys is in foul trouble, then they struggle. But I do agree that they'll finally get their first NCAA tournament win in, 19 years?
97,
against USC. But there's no way they're going to be able to stay with North Carolina. They don't have the talent under the basket. I mean, Bentil will get his points, he'll get his rebounds, but Carolina comes at you in waves with Kennedy Meeks and Bryce Johnson, who's a bona fide superstar NBA player. They just have too much talent. I think if Providence is going to have a chance against Carolina, they're going to have to make it a half-court game, and that's where Providence doesn't play well in a half-court game. So it's kind of a bad matchup for them. I think of all the one seeds they wanted to get, Carolina's probably the worst of the one seeds for them to play. So I like Carolina to win. Probably close at the half, but I think they pull away in the second half because their talent's just going to overwhelm Providence.
As far as last year, too, I think the Dayton boogeyman got in their head, the fact that they ended up having to play them on the home court. I mean, you can say what you want about it, but I mean, there were guys I know that were there, and they said it was ridiculously in favor of Dayton, the crowd. And I don't know. I think they let it get in their head, and I think they played that way. And then when you factor in the quick foul calls that Barry Dunn, that got to him. So I don't think it'll happen this time around with USC. I mean, the North Carolina game's obviously an uphill battle. Again, they put themselves in this position. Scott, what do you think, PC North Carolina?
I'm taking the Friars. I'll tell you why. Chris Dunn is the kind of player – like a Buddy Hield, who can take a game over on his own. And I think Ed Cooley, and Matt and I have watched Cooley for many, many, many years. He's the kind of guy that can light a fire,
And I think his team – I think he's tired of his team being told that they can't win the big one. And even after the struggles late in the year. And something about Carolina just pisses me off. I don't know why. All this McDonald's talent, and they actually lost six games. And they hung around in games. Teams hung around against them when they had no business. Something about the way Roy Williams coaches is starting to bug me. And I have a bad feeling that this team is going to make mental mistakes – because I feel like he doesn't really recruit smart players anymore. Kind of like Calhoun in the mid-2000s. And Chris, you and I have had this discussion numerous times. After the Okafor Gordon class, he recruited athletes who aren't really good basketball players. And, I mean, Carolina has good basketball players, but I just something about them bugs me. And I have a feeling they're going to play 40 mediocre minutes. And mediocre will be enough for Providence to win. And I don't think there'll be no home cooking. There's no foul bullshit or anything like that. I think Dunn is going to look in the mirror going into this game and saying, I'm the best player in the country. Not that kid from Oklahoma. I am. And I think he's going to show it, period.
Andrew?
I think free throws win it in the end. I think Bentel is not scared of anybody. So I don't care how many trees wearing powder blue are going to be around him. He's going to make a mess of things in the paint. And I think Carolina's going to get rattled, to be quite honest with you. I like PC in the upset.
Andrew?
The game's obviously in Raleigh. The one thing that's going to even out the field there between the Friars and the Tar Heels is that neither team is good at making threes or taking threes. So it's obviously going to be determined from behind, from under the three-point line here in the front court. The thing that has really haunted Providence all year is the other guys. Who's going to step up behind Dunn and Ben Bentel? Bentel will get his points. He's done them in every game. He'll probably do it against North Carolina. But there's so many other guys from North Carolina that I think it's just going to overwhelm Providence. Chris Dunn, he's going to have a good game. He's going to be able to do some things. But I just think that the front court of Providence is just, or of North Carolina, is just going to be way too much for Providence.
Matt?
I have to put it to a tie. I can't honestly, in good conscience, not go with Providence here. I am looking forward to Chris Dunn getting his summer revenge on Marcus Page after the last time when Marcus Page went up against Bryce Cotton. So I'm going to go with Providence.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. Kentucky, Indiana, who do we like?
I like Kentucky, but that's going to be a hell of a game.
Anyone have Indiana over Kentucky?
I didn't pick Indiana, but Kentucky's going to – I had Chattanooga, obviously, but Kentucky will win either way.
Chris?
Kentucky.
Okay, so did anyone have Kentucky over North Carolina?
I
did.
I like North Carolina myself.
You have Kentucky over Carolina, Chris? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's my upset in this region. I don't know if it's an upset. I don't know if Kentucky's really a 4 seed. They probably should have been seeded higher.
All right, so I'm going to break the tie with PC. Why not? We'll put him in the Sweet 16, and then I think no one would argue Kentucky to the Elite Eight. Scott or Matt, did you have Carolina over Kentucky on either of those? Would you have an issue with how – I mean, you both picked PC, obviously, so. You're both good with Kentucky in the Elite Eight.
You're going to think – I don't know what I'm smoking tonight, but maybe it's whatever the committee was this weekend. But if they can beat Carolina, why can't they beat Kentucky?
I don't know.
You're going to give Justin a heart attack.
Okay. I really think all you guys are – I mean, hey, we can all root for our teams, but let's let the voice of reason, you know.
I'm taking it.
Hey, you won the national championship 2 years ago with, like, the 50th best team in the tournament. So anything's possible. Anything's possible.
I mean, I will say this. In a lot of these games, I mean, I know – I think Bryce Johnson – Bryce is probably the best player for, you know, on the court in that Carolina game. I mean – you know, I think you can make the argument with Carolina. I don't see them being able to beat Carolina, Kentucky back to back.
Here's the question here with Providence. And you mentioned Napier and in UConn, and then you mentioned Kemba Walker about Chris's teams. There's only one guy in those tournaments. Who's that guy? Is it Buddy Hield? Is it Denzel Valentine? Is it Chris Dunn?
If that's the reason we're going with, I mean, that's. I don't know, because only one guy can...
I'm not saying that Providence isn't a good team. I think they're a good team. I mean, I disagree with my brother's assessment that Chris Dunn is in Buddy Hield's category. Chris Dunn's, his outside shot is suspect at best.
Different players, yes.
Oh, they're different players.
His outside shot is suspect. And if he's going to have... if he
that's where he's separated from Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield can get his shot off from anywhere. He can get in the paint, get in the lane, get to the rim, and he could shoot from 400 feet.
He also doesn't
Chris
change
Dunn
the game
do
defensively
all
like
in the
Dunn
middle,
does. Yeah, but he doesn't
not
change
an
the
outside
game defensively.
Shooter.
So yeah, but right, so Dunn takes
Hield
over defensively.
Dunn in the same category, I think, is a bit much.
But Buddy Hield doesn't play
defense. I think it's a bad
like
matchup for Providence. That's all I'm saying. I think against Carolina, it's just a bad matchup. I think
now,
if
having
they were
said that,
up against somebody else, they might have a better chance to win. I just think it's a bad matchup.
In my bracket, I'm saying this, though. Okay. In my bracket, I took Kentucky. But all I'm saying is, and Chris Dunn plays defense and is an intangible.
Well, I mean, Hield, you can say Hield's the best scorer in the country. I mean, Dunn's not, but that's not Dunn's game. He's not that player. He's not meant to be a scorer. And I think that's where he gets overlooked and people criticize that. Well, you know, he's only, whatever, he'd score 12, 14, 15 points, but he's a guy that you have to watch. And when you watch him up close or you watch him week to week, game to game, he changes the game dramatically on the defensive end, does a lot of things. And for most of these games, too, he's been double or triple teamed half the time.
If Dunn can make his outside shots, which he's had in certain spurts of the season, very different.
He's hit big ones when he's had to. But yeah, no, but consistently, he's not going to make those. But yeah. Again, he controls the game in many different ways. And his game would be a lot more different, too, if he had the depth of some of these other teams. You know, and again, this isn't the comparison for PC's chance. I'm talking Dunn alone. If he had the depth of some of these other teams, we'd be looking at him even in a more revered stretch. Because watching him again every possession of his season, how many times guys missed shots or dropped passes that were absolute dimes?
Well, of course. Like, what if Chris Dunn played at Kentucky? I mean, he'd be the most talked about player in college.
Let's get through the bracket because I got an interesting question. But let's get through it and pick our winners.
Right now we got Kentucky Xavier in the Elite Eight.
I like Xavier.
All right, so we got one Xavier. Reese, who do you like there?
But say the matchups one more time.
We got Kentucky Xavier in the Elite Eight.
Man, Kentucky is red hot. Calipari's just got away, and you got to give this man credit of getting his teams to play the best when the lights are bright. I'll take Kentucky in that matchup.
All right, Chris, you had Kentucky here anyway, right? So regardless of the PC Carolina stuff. Okay. Who do you like, Kentucky Xavier?
Kentucky.
Okay, Matt?
I'm going with Kentucky. Jamal Murray's probably the best player on the court. I'm going to go with that.
All right, I'll go with Kentucky as well. I think Xavier's run ends there. So, Final Four, Kansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Michigan State. Scott, who do you like here? Just give us your two final teams out of the four. You can talk about both games at once.
I didn't even have this game in my thing, but I'm going to take – if I had to choose between Kentucky and Michigan State, I will take the Spartans. I think they're going to play a more complete team in that aspect. Kentucky seemed to – kind of quietly lollygag their way through the season, and then suddenly they play a couple good games in the SEC tournament, and everyone thinks they're like the undefeated team again. I think Michigan State will play 40 good minutes against them and beat them. Kansas-Oklahoma should be in the national championship. Oklahoma should, another stupid move by the dumb committee. Oklahoma should have been on the other side of this bracket because this game is going to be fantastic. And I'm going to give the edge to Kansas again, like they were in the regular season. I just think they have a little more talent overall, and Hield's going to play his nuts off, but I think the overall talent of Kansas in the end will give them the edge.
Andrew?
With Kentucky and Michigan State, Michigan State is just much better at making threes than Kentucky, even though Kentucky's improved. And defensively, Michigan State is a lot better. So I think that's going to be the key factor there. If Denzel Valentine is able to outsmart Tyler Ulis, which is a great matchup, even though they're a little bit off in terms of height and style, I'll take Michigan State in that matchup. Am I waiting, or are we going to
go
ahead?
No, you can get the other
side, yep. Kansas owns Oklahoma. Kansas wins.
All right, Chris?
Well, the Kansas-Oklahoma game from January was one of the best college basketball games I've seen in a very, very, very long time. And I would love to see that happen again. And I think that one would be just as good as the first one. The second one was not a good basketball game. Oklahoma was like they were in the middle of that little funk they were at when they played in Norman. But Kansas will win that game. I think Michigan State beats Kentucky. I pick Kansas to cut the nets down. They'll get the revenge on Michigan State from their earlier loss.
Matt?
I'm going with Michigan State. Over Kentucky, they just played defense. I just never discredit Izzo. And I'm actually going to go with Oklahoma. So I think, again, They just want to beat Kansas at this point. I think it's going to be them. Oklahoma going.
All right. So our bracket, we have Kansas, Michigan State. We know Chris is taking Kansas to win it all. Scott, I believe you are as well.
Yes. Bill Self will cut the nets for the second time.
Reesh?
Oh, this reminds me a lot of 09, and I mean it this way. Michigan State played North Carolina early in the season and got clobbered. They went all the way to the national championship game. It was the same two teams, and North Carolina clobbered them again. It was almost like nothing had changed. Michigan State played Kansas in the Champions Classic in Chicago. Kansas got a big lead. They got a little bit complacent. Michigan State had that second gear, kicked in, and took over. I don't really see much different with these two teams, to be honest. Maybe Kansas has learned a bit more about themselves by this point in the tournament, but I think Michigan State's just too good. Tom Izzo wins it.
All right, so we got two Kansases, we got a Michigan State, and we got a Rotella. Who do you like here?
I'm going with Michigan State. I love this team. And again, as I've been saying for like probably the last five times when we talk about Michigan State, Tom Izzo just knows how to win in this tournament. I'm going with Michigan State.
All right, tiebreaker, as it always comes down to, I think, in the championship. And I got to go with the guy who's more proven, too. I mean, you get to this point, it's a big game. To me, Izzo's more proven than Self. I'm going to take Michigan State as well, but I think it could go either way. I don't feel 100% confident.
It would be the Big Ten's first national championship since Tom Izzo won it.
There you go. All right, Scott, I'll let you pick the score. What do you think, even though it's not the team you picked?
Well, I'll pick the score that I have here, 81-74.
Okay. All right, so there's our bracket. It is entered. Final four again, Kansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Michigan State. We have Michigan State over Kansas to win it all. If you want to get your ass in this tournament challenge and take on our bracket that we just put together here, of course, go to Yahoo, bracket, tourney, pick 'em, group name, place termination, group ID 59604, password, PTB Shockwall, the PTBS all capitalized. So join today. You got a couple of days left to get in. Get your brackets. I think it actually gives you a max of two that you can submit under your name, and then we will go ahead and see who wins. And like I said, there'll be a prize at the end of this. So we got a few minutes left. Anything we didn't talk about that anyone wanted to cover?
I think the committee was drunk because this is the most ass-backwards 68 team setup I think I've seen in many years. And I want to just ask, we were talking about number nines. I think it was pretty poetic for this, for our podcast, that both UConn and Providence were nines. If the roles were reversed, PC played Kansas and UConn played Carolina. Chris, do you think UConn beats Carolina?
No, I mean, this is not a vintage Connecticut team. I was expecting them probably to be a 10, actually, and not have to play a one seed. But I don't think they would have beaten Kansas or North Carolina. This is not a vintage Connecticut team. I mean, they have an All-American point guard. You know, they don't actually even have a true point guard. Sterling Gibbs is not a true point guard, and that's Connecticut's recipe. They don't have a true point guard. The true point guard is a freshman who is playing his best basketball now, but he's not the experienced player that they have. So they wouldn't have beaten either team. And I don't know that Providence would have beaten Kansas either. I think they would have had a better chance to beat Kansas than Carolina. And I might have, if I looked at that game hard, probably might even have picked Providence in that game. I think if Connecticut played Oregon, they could win that game. In fact, I probably would pick them. And I think if Providence played Oregon, I would pick Providence to win that game. I think Oregon's the weakest one seed that could lose to an 8-9. But I think deserved to be a one seed. I think the Pac-12 didn't get any respect this year. But I just think it's all about matchups. This tournament is all about matchups.
I think if PC was the nine against in either Virginia or Oregon's bracket, I think let's just say they were a nine instead of Butler. I think they beat Texas Tech. If they were a nine, I think they'd have beat St. Joe's. And I do think they would have beat Oregon. And I think they would have even beat Virginia. There's a gleam.
That Virginia PC might have been first to 30 that game. I don't know.
I'll ask one question for everybody. Louisville and SMU, who were banned from the postseason, how far would they have gone?
SMU would have got knocked. Wouldn't have made the second weekend. Louisville.
I disagree. I think SMU would have probably been a three seed. I think they would have played the Sweet 16. I think Louisville probably would have been a three seed or four.
Yeah.
It all depends on the tournament. They both would have been four seeds at minimum, I think. And I think both would have gotten to the second round, to the second weekend. I mean, SMU was a very good battle. They started; they were the last team to lose. They were 18-0.
And I watched Louisville quite a bit. Louisville was a strong team.
Having said that, though,
so I think both teams would have gotten far. And in fact, they were very good. Louisville was very good.
Having said that, yes, Louisville was very good.
And their postseason ban was ridiculous because they're going to get whacked hard. So why would you have killed? You know, the NCAA is laughing at this one season postseason ban. As if it's going to be the only thing they get. It's not. Yeah.
North Carolina didn't. They're holding golf all the way to the end because they didn't want this season to get ruined.
I think the committee didn't just say, you know, we're going to overlook the whole thing with Louisville and, you know, we'll just put them in and we'll worry about it next year.
Come Let's on. Get some horrors to the other 67 teams. Why not? You know,
they already have, buddy.
All right, guys. A lot of fun here as always. Sixth annual tournament bracket prediction in the book. Make sure you all get your own brackets in. Of course, we'll see everything go down. Kicks off tomorrow night, Tuesday night with the play-in games, and then Thursday proper with the final field of 64. So for our committee here, we'll be back no sooner than next year, but eventually we'll be here for number 7, hopefully next March. Otherwise, everyone take care. It was good to have you all here. Hope you enjoyed it. Number 6 in the book, Scott. We'll be back episode number 399 and 400 coming very quickly.
Yes.
We have New Year's Revolution 06 coming hopefully next week, and then episode 400 the week after. So everyone stay tuned. Keep an eye out PlaceToBeNation.com, Twitter, Place2BNation, Facebook.com, PlaceToBeNation, /PlaceToBeNation as well. Keep up to date with everything going on. Visit us often. Visit us many, many times each and every day. PlaceToBeNation.com. So for Scott and the crew, I'm Justin. We're out. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Got game, where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but fuck the game if it ain't saying nothing. Damn, was it something I said? Pretend you don't see, so you turn your head. Ray scared of his shadow, does it matter? Thought of reparations, got a plan with the population. Nothing to lose, everything's approved. People use, even murder's excuse. White men in suits don't have to jump. Still 1,001 ways to lose with the shoes. God takes care of old folks and fools, while the devil takes care of making all the rules. Folks don't even own themselves, paying mental rent to corporate presidents. 1 out of 1 million residents be a dissident who ain't kissing it. The politics are chains and whips. Got the stick missing chips and all the championships. What's love got to do with what you got? Don't let a win get to your head or a loss to your heart. Nonsense perseveres, prayers laced with fear. Beware, 2 triple O is
near. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but fuck the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right, everybody got game. And we just here to let y'all know that P.E. is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. Hey, yo, my man, sing it.